Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, October 24th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, one Mega Millions winning ticket worth $1.6 billion was sold in South Carolina, lottery officials say.
What the f***?
I have one family member down there. The South Carolina Education Lottery reported that one ticket matched all five white balls and the mega ball. The winning numbers in Tuesday night's drawing were 5, 28, 62, 65, 70, and the mega ball was 5.
Such quick question. We conclusively now know that there is one winner. Are they still waiting to see if other winners come forward?
There's one winner. They don't know if it's a single person or if it's a group of people, but there is one
That's
winner.
The question. Okay.
One winning ticket in South Carolina.
Right. Yeah, nobody's come forward. They just know the lottery
where
system
was sold,
knows.
Yes, okay.
One was one. And I think it might be per state that has to come in, Steve, because I thought I caught on the news this morning. There may be another winner, but they don't.
All right.
All the states haven't reported in. That was as of 4 o'clock this morning when I heard the news today.
So as of now, one winner for that whole $1.6 billion.
That big nut.
Which had to balloon, right? What's the final?
It's a good question.
Probably more like 1.8 or something.
I don't know. They're saying 1.6 billion, so I'm not sure.
Well, that's chump change.
There are 36 second prize winners worth $1 million each, including two that were sold in New Jersey and one ticket that was sold in Pennsylvania.
I know people who live in New Jersey.
And Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
One in Pennsylvania, so check your tickets. The estimated jackpot is the largest lottery prize ever. The jackpot has been growing since July when a group of California office workers won $543 million. It costs $2 to play the game. Mega Millions is played in 44 states as well as Washington, D.C., and the U.S. Virgin Islands. If you didn't win the Mega Millions prize, don't forget, tonight's Powerball jackpot is worth an estimated $620 million, so you can try for that next.
It's insane.
Six children are dead and 12 others sick following a severe viral outbreak at a rehabilitation center in New Jersey. The State Department of Health on Tuesday confirmed 18 cases of endovirus at the Wanakay Center for Nursing and Rehabilitation in Haskell Passaic County. And endoviruses usually cause mild illnesses, but the health department says this outbreak is particularly severe because it is affecting medically fragile children with severe compromised immune systems. The conditions of the 12 other victims are unknown. The facility has been instructed to not admit any new patients until the outbreak ends. A health department team is at the facility, and an inspection team was also there on Sunday. A team on Sunday found minor hand-washing deficiencies, but the department is continuing to work closely with the facility on infection control issues. In the past 10 years, cases of severe illness and death from this type of infection found at a facility has been reported in the United States, but it's unclear how many deaths there have been, according to a CDC spokeswoman. Police cited 100 people for underage drinking at a house party near the University of Delaware. It all began when a complaint came in about a party at the home on the 300 block of East Park Place on Saturday afternoon. Officers called in campus and county police to help raid the house. Police estimate that the backyard held about 170 people overflowing into the neighborhood yard without permission. Those were the best ones, though.
Hell yeah. Those yard parties.
Yeah. And I never, ever were we ever worried about cops showing up?
No, not really.
No.
And if so, you just kind of hop the fence.
Well, when we would have parties in town, that's when you would worry about the cops. When you'd have parties on campus, you'd worry about the campus police. So,
our campus was dry, so we weren't allowed to have those parties on campus. So most of ours were off campus, which was completely filled with college students.
You'd get in a lot more trouble with the police than you would with the campus cops.
Right, okay. Authorities say most of the tickets were given to University of Delaware students who can be referred to the university's student conduct system. Two people under the age of 18 were arrested. They were released to a parent. The three University of Delaware students who hosted the party have pending charges. The university is now disciplining the students who were caught on a case-by-case basis, making a point to educate them on the dangers of binge drinking.
I'm surprised. You'd think they'd be studying.
The university says that campus citations are down and trips to the hospital because of binge drinking are down as well. Mm. As for the kids who got busted this weekend, they will face a $200 fine and a 30-day license suspension. The house was just a block away from the house where 174 underage drinking citations were issued in 2016.
Mm-hmm. This is crazy.
In sports this morning.
Oh!
sex and yummy.
The Boston Red Sox came out swinging in the World Series opener and beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 8-4 on a chilly night in Fenway. Andrew Benintendi had four hits. J.D. Martinez drove in two early runs, and pinch hitter Eduardo Nunez hit a three-run home run. The series continues tonight, and Hyunjin Ryu will start for L.A. while David Price pitches for the Sox. Game time is at 8:09. Blake Griffin scored a career-high 50 points and had the game winner after he was fouled on a driving layup with 1.8 seconds left, as the Pistons beat the Sixers 133-132 in overtime last night in Detroit. The Sixers were without Ben Simmons, who had back tightness. J.J. Redick's four-point play with 5.6 seconds left in overtime gave the Sixers a chance, while Joel Embiid, who had 33 points and 11 rebounds, missed the potential game winner at the buzzer. They're on the road again tonight with the game in Milwaukee against the Bucks. Tip-off is at 9:30. The Eagles will be without defensive end Derek Barnett for the rest of the 2018 season.
What?
The former first-round pick, who has recorded 2.5 sacks and 17 tackles this season, is reportedly having shoulder surgery. Case Barnett suffered an injury during the Titans game and then missed the Vikings game. He returned to play against the Giants and the Panthers, but apparently couldn't continue after Sunday. Before the shoulder injury, Barnett had been the Eagles' best and most consistent defensive end. But the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Hey.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. So we're getting set for another day together with you. We have several things in mind. We'll remind you that we do have $1,000 to give away once again before MMR's Birthday Bucks Part 2. So we'll get that started as close to 8 o'clock as we can get it. So make sure that you are with us, because it's gonna peter out in
yes.
a little while, and we don't want you to miss out on that chance. So five opportunities today. We will have a hottie cam, and not only some of the best and talented and hottest dancers in our area, the most prompt and professional.
Yes, they are.
Delilah's will be stopping by today. We always count on them, and they have their trick-or-treat events, the 27th anniversary party tonight. So they'll be stopping in today, so we'll let you know when the hottie cam is up and running. We have, we're going to go on TV today, Fox Good Day. We will be doing an appearance, and we will also have director Jason Reitman in our studio. He's been here before.
He's becoming like a buddy now. He was just in fairly recently for Tully.
Yeah. I actually got a text last night from his handler saying he's really excited to come in here.
Good.
This morning.
Oh, there you go. Cool. This will be his third visit here, I think.
Yeah. He was here for, I believe, for, was it Juno?
Juno.
Might have been for Juno. Yeah, Juno, Tully, and now Front Runner.
Yeah, so that is in theaters on November 21st, and there was a screening of it last night at the Philadelphia Film Festival, so he's got to be pretty fired up about that. So we'll say hello to Jason, spend some time with him in the 8 o'clock hour. We have those things. We have a secret text word because it is a Wednesday. Let me see. What do we have here today? Tickets, as MMR presents Disturbed February 18th at the Wells Fargo Center with 3 Days Grace.
So nice.
Two different ways to win. One, actually two opportunities to win. One way to do that. So you just text the word secret to 39333, and we send a word back to you. And later on, we'll ask you to call in with that word. The designated caller wins those tickets. And then we grab one randomly from all of those texts and give away those tickets. And speaking of tickets, tonight is the advanced screening of Bohemian Rhapsody. So at some point, we'll give away the last of those that we have during the course of the morning. So,
are you excited for that?
Yeah, I am looking forward to it. I just wish it wasn't on the night before we were leaving for London.
I know.
Because I do want to try to get a good night's sleep tonight, but it's going to be a tad bit past my bedtime. And listen, my son Carter is a huge Freddie Mercury fan and Queen fan, so I'm excited to go with him tonight and see that movie.
Excellent.
So, should be pretty cool. So those things and more today. We're going to have a good time. We're going to take a break, come back in a second. Stupid question. Give some stuff away in that fashion, and I'll roll out some stories that I pulled aside for you. Back in a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly, or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to do a stupid question this morning, giving away a pair of tickets as MMR rocks one of our favorites, Tenacious D. They are playing at the Fillmore on Thursday, November 8th. And the question I have for you this morning, this is very interesting. How many United States cities are named Phoenix?
How many United States cities are named Phoenix?
Yeah. 215-263-WMMR. You know, besides the one in Arizona, there are several others.
Huh.
How many altogether? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. I'll go through some birthdays today as we celebrate on Wednesday, October 24th. Bill Wyman's birthday of the Rolling Stones. Bill Wyman is 82 years old
82.
Today. I want to say he's the oldest member of the Stones, maybe. I always thought Charlie Watts was,
yeah.
Because he looked the oldest.
He does look the oldest.
But I don't think he is the oldest. I may be off on
and
that.
And he hasn't been in the Stones for a long time.
Yeah, he left quite a while back. They have no real bass player. They have, you know, they'll get a hired gun. But he's no longer a member of the Stones.
When did he leave?
Wow. 93.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a while back.
Who was the Rolling Stone that was just sitting in our lobby at Y100?
That was Bill Wyman.
Okay, yeah. I thought so.
He had already left the band by then because that was probably 1997 when I walked down the stairs and I'm like, it's Bill Wyman. I recognized him immediately. The only thing that threw me off is how short he was.
You said he's very short.
Yeah.
You said he had actually specifically come to media, to the station, to meet us. He was such a fan.
Yep.
Well, and we were very excited. We had no idea.
I remember it a little bit differently.
Oh, really?
I may be wrong. Yeah.
He was. Was he by any chance promoting a book?
It was a book.
Okay.
And he was being interviewed by our news person at the time, Sherry Lee Stevens, and he was very taken aback at her beauty. From
yes.
What I understand.
Yes.
She was a very beautiful woman. And
very beautiful.
But he was. I'll never forget because we had this staircase that walked. It bottomed out right into the front lobby.
Yeah.
And I remember just bouncing down those stairs. And I come, I bounce in the lobby, and he's standing right there. And I'm like, and it was pre, you know, having a phone in your pocket.
Right, right, yeah.
I mean, having a camera in your
pocket. You had
to
take a selfie on a landline.
At any time, and I couldn't get a picture with him.
Yeah.
I got to meet him. It was cool, but it would have been so cool to have a picture with him. But he was a nice guy. Nice guy. Nice gentleman, English gentleman. He's 82 today. Kevin Kline, the actor. Wow, he's 71 years old today.
I was trying to think of the last time I saw him.
Yeah.
He does work in theater a lot.
Yeah.
And still does film and TV work.
Steve, you saw the Beauty and the Beast, right? With Emma.
Oh, he was excellent in that. Yes.
He's the her father? Right?
Yes.
Yeah, in that.
He has been in so many great movies over the years. Dave, In and Out. A Fish Called Wanda.
So funny.
Is so great. He is 71 years old today. F. Murray Abraham.
F. him.
Great actor. In Amadeus, he plays Salieri.
Yes.
Who's the main protagonist in that. And
here's a guy who really should. He's unpleasant looking, yet he is a really great actor and has managed to transcend all of that.
He has a great voice.
He does. Yeah. He is also in Scarface. Yes.
Yeah. He unfortunately gets thrown out of a helicopter and hung.
Well, some services don't land, Preston.
they throw him out of a helicopter with a noose around his neck. It's pretty wild. It's pretty brutal.
I assume he doesn't make it.
He doesn't make it.
I'm still alive!
But it's an interesting moment in the movie because Tony Montana... Yeah. He just looks up and he sees it happen. It's to send a message.
Yeah.
And the message is being sent to Tony, and he just kind of looks up and doesn't faze him at all.
There should have been a scene later on in the movie like Top Secret, Preston, with...
Don't you get rid of me, did you?
He was also in Star Trek Insurrection.
Yes.
He's 79 today.
He's also in Homeland. And
is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
look at that working fool.
He's awesome. I mean, that show has had has ebbed and flowed, and I've actually enjoyed all of it.
Okay,
so, yeah.
So we also he's 79 years old today. B.D. Wong, who is an actor, and he's been in lots of stuff. In Jurassic Park, he played Dr. Woo.
Woo!
He turned into a bad guy now.
He has, Nick. In the original version of Jurassic Park, he was just sort of this bookish, you know, geneticist. And then since then, he is really, I think he's like the top baddie. He's the one who keeps this process going.
Yeah, in the last two, Preston, I don't think you saw either of them. No. But he starts turning all of these dinosaurs into these genetic monsters for profit. And so he's sort of the villain.
Okay. If you remember in Father of the Bride, he was one of the, Martin Short's assistant.
Yes. I didn't realize it's the same guy.
Same guy. Wow. Yeah.
And he's also been great on Gotham, Preston.
Yes. Who is he a villain or?
Strange. The doctor who runs he's doing experiments in Arkham. Okay. He's always playing a doctor, screwing around with genetics.
He is 58 years old today. It's Drake's birthday today.
Ah.
Been listening to Drake because of my kids. He's got this song. He's like, God's plan. And he's like,
do you like it?
It's a weird sort of, I don't know. He's like,
ain't no poopity scoop.
It's no poopity scoop, but I don't know if he's singing or rapping or just mumbling.
Or just tired.
Yeah.
I don't want to sing.
I only love He's tired.
I'm gonna say, come on, man. Come on. We have one more. I'm going to see.
And then, meanwhile, they're in the control room with the intercom off going, this is gold. Listen to this. You're going to play it?
Come on, man.
Of course.
I couldn't tell you. You could hold a gun to my head, and I couldn't tell you one Drake song. I know he's insanely popular, but I don't know anything from him. All right, let's hear it.
I've been moving calm, don't start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me. Don't pull up at 6 a.m. to cuddle with me. You know how
is this the
like
mumbling part you're talking about?
Yeah.
Or was it at the beginning there?
Yeah, here you go. I'll just move it up.
Okay.
Wish on me.
Bad things. It's a lot of bad things.
Yeah.
Is that not normally how he sounds?
I don't know.
Kind of sounds like normal Drake.
Yeah.
It's a lot of bad things. Oh, it should be good. And chicken nuggets and a go-gurt. A go-gurt. I like my go-gurt.
Bad things. It's a lot of bad things that they wish and I wish.
Wanna go to Toy Store. To the Toy Store.
Yeah.
Hey.
She say, do you love me? I tell her only partly. I only love my bed and my mom. I'm sorry. 50 dub. I even got it.
All the chicken nuggets and my sippy girl.
And you know
it's so good. Love my little cup of yogurt.
Without 40 Ollie, there be no
me. This guy makes a ridiculous amount of money,
fruit
right?
Fruit roll up. Like a fruit roll up.
Yeah, he's also, by the way, been with some of the most stunning-looking women in the music.
Yeah,
he revealed that he wanted to actually make a baby with Rihanna. I was like, yeah, so does everybody. Right. I want to make a baby
but
with Rihanna.
But first I want to go, girl.
He grew up in Toronto in the neighborhood in Toronto that I didn't know existed. It's called the Weston part of town.
Weston. Oh, yeah. He was also on the kids show.
That's right, Degrassi.
Degrassi.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, what's this?
He was on Degrassi High.
Yeah, that's where he got his break.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a teen show more than a kid show.
So he's an actor as well. And he actually was on SNL, and he was great.
He was.
He was a great guest host.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. His real name is Aubrey Drake Graham.
My name is Aubrey. Aubrey Drake Graham. I want my go-gurt. Yeah. It's like a yogurt. Yeah. And then there's nuggets.
Drake Aubrey is 32 years old.
32.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who's in love with him? 11 from
11?
Millie Bobby Brown.
Really?
Absolutely adores him. Yeah.
Okay. And then the last birthday I saw Shanae Grimes, and she was on 90210. I didn't watch 90210.
Very attractive, as you would imagine.
She's 29 today.
She was actually played the Shannon
Doherty.
Shannon Doherty role.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like
the remake of
it. Yep.
Shanae Grimes, 29 today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Nick, can you check this for me?
Oh, sure.
How many cities in the United States are named Phoenix?
Well, there's
You're driving me to Phoenix!
It says named for the Phoenix. So, meaning, you know, the mythical bird.
That rises from the flames.
215-263-WMMR in the United States. Okay, I have a certain number here on my...
On your card?
My source, yeah. We'll see if somebody can get it correct. We're going to go with that one. I'll go to Matt. Hey, Matt, good morning.
Good morning.
Matt, do you have an answer?
Is it 69?
No.
69!
That's very good.
Green number.
Is it?
No, it's not.
No.
Okay. Let me see here.
This is... Is that what you got?
Oh, boy.
No, it's not. Not all at right. all. Nope, it is not.
All right.
Well, how about a number without going over, Preston? Like the showcase?
No,
this is an official question because it's on a printed piece of cardboard.
Yeah.
So.
On a game piece.
Hannah, do you know the answer?
Yeah.
What is it?
3.
No, I'm sorry, Hannah.
Hannah sounds adorable.
That's how old you are, right?
We'll give you a go-gurt.
No, thank you, Hannah. Appreciate it. All right, let me go next.
You're going to go-gurt.
We'll go to Eric. Hey, Eric.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, man. How many places in the United States are named Phoenix?
Well, I have the official answer printed on a piece of cardboard, and it is 10.
No.
Oh!
It is not. Sorry. All right.
Again, we always say the caveat here is the answer is always according to the information you have.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Let me go to Greg next. Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. How are you this morning?
Good, Greg. So how many U.S. cities are named Phoenix?
Hey, you know what they say, go big or go home. So I'm going to go with one.
One? No, I'm sorry.
That's a good guess, though. Could have been a trick question.
There are indeed more.
Like how many animals did Moses bring on the ark?
Let me go to Adam. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Where are the sausages?
Yeah. I've heard that in a little while.
Where are the sausages?
Adam, how many U.S. cities are named Phoenix?
I'm going to go with 7.
7 is incorrect.
I'm seeing a few.
I know that's the Wikipedia answer.
Yeah.
So Nick had pulled that up, and Wikipedia says that there's 7. But not according to the game I know, which is...
Well, without giving away the answer, can you give the numbers that are in on each side of it?
No, I can't. Let me go to Lauren. Hey, Lauren.
Hi.
How many cities named Phoenix, you think?
Can I guess 8?
You can, and you'd be wrong.
Oh.
Thank you very much.
You see, I don't see an answer that's not an answer we've already heard.
Let me go to John. Hey, John. It's this plus one, Casey. All right, John.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how many Phoenixes?
10.
No.
Incorrect.
Sorry about that. Yeah, exactly. All right, well, I tell you what, we'll come back to that. We'll get some other calls up on the line, 215-263-WMMR, go through
what
a couple of stories.
What happened?
Rosie O'Donnell is hoping that the third time is the charm with her girlfriend, Elizabeth Rooney. The comedian tells people that their wedding is a long time in the future.
I don't think it's going to work.
But they've gotten engaged. Rooney, why do you not think it's going to work?
Because she makes this mistake. This one looks like the last wife... And much younger, attractive, and I think she has a type that she's drawn to, and there's decades separating them, and Rosie O'Donnell's sort of an old soul to begin with. Yeah. So, I mean, I'd be happy if she does find true love, but I don't think it's going to work.
Rosie is 56, Rooney is 33. She's a Boston cop, an Army veteran, and an undefeated Army boxer.
Whoa. Yes.
And share the image of her engagement ring on Instagram. Rosie says that despite their age difference, Rooney is very much an equal. She's very much her own person and loves what she does. She's a pretty unbelievable young woman.
She loves the go-gurt. She loves the yogurt.
Rosie said, I keep telling her I'm too old for her, but she doesn't seem to care. She's like, I was in the Army. I put my life on the line every day. You think I don't know who I want to date? And I'm like, all right, I guess that's true. And she's got a lot of good points.
I don't mean to be morbid about in this conversation either, but her last wife committed suicide. And I think that there has to be this grace period between the next marriage and something awful and tragic like that before.
But what's that grace period?
I have no idea. But like, there's got to be some level of healing before you make a lifelong commitment to getting married again.
Well, Michelle Rounds had died by suicide in 2017.
Right.
They had broken up before then.
They had broken up a few years before, yes.
Yeah, so
they share kids together, or they had shared kids together, obviously, while she was still alive.
And she was also married to Kelly Carpenter.
Right, who was also her junior by many years.
Okay.
So she goes for these big age differences.
Yeah. All right, let's see if we can get an answer. I'm still looking for that. How many Phoenixes in the U.S.? I'm going to go to Frank. Hey, Frank, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Frank. You know the answer?
13.
You're very close.
Oh.
Very
close. The answer we have.
Again, this is the answer that Preston has. Yes. It need not be the accurate answer. It's the one he has.
I'll go to John. Hey, John.
Hello.
Hi, John. How many phoenixes are there?
10.
No. You're further away now. See, we're going to play higher or lower.
So 10 was wrong and 13 was wrong.
13 was really close.
It was really close.
Really close.
Really close.
Yeah. All right. Let me go to Natalie. Hi, right, Natalie.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? All right, Natalie. How many?
Is it 14?
It is. Yeah! That is correct, Natalie.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have just found the correct answer according to Preston.
All right, hang on. We're going to get your information, and we are going to give you some tickets to see Tenacious D at the Fillmore on Thursday, November 8th, and the show is sold out, by the way. So there are, besides Phoenix, Arizona, there are 13 other cities that are named Phoenix, according to the source that I have.
So which for example, we talk about Springfield, mm-hmm. there being a number of Springfields throughout the country.
Yes.
I wonder which city name occurs the most in the continental United States.
Manayunk?
Manayunk, yeah. Sure.
Ballykinwood.
Yeah, Ballykinwood.
Yeah. Who knows? All right, so...
And who cares?
I have a few stories other than that one to get to. Oscar-winning actor Jeffrey Rush took the stand during the second day of his defamation trial in Australia and delivered emotional, tearful testimony during which he insisted he never sexually harassed his accuser, a woman named Erin Jean Norville. Rush has been accused of misconduct by a fellow actor on the set of King Lear. In addition to denying wrongdoing, Rush is suing the publisher of Sydney's The Daily Telegraph and journalist Jonathan Moran over a report detailing allegations against him. Now, the paper is defending itself using Norville's words against him. She claimed... he, quote, traced his hand down her torso and across the right side of her breast during a scene on stage when Rush, as King Lear, is grieving the dead body of Cordelia. Rush denied her claims on the stand. He said, for this scene, I've always imagined it was my own real-life daughter, and she'd been hit by a bus on the street near where I lived, and I knew she was gone. I carried her to the footpath, and every night I would reinvent that scene in my mind, and I needed that trigger. His lawyer asked, did you ever intentionally touch her breast? No, replied Rush. He continued saying that he filed the suit because the report, quote, made me want to give up this profession because I was deeply embarrassed by it. He also defended the text message that he had sent in which he wrote, quote, thinking of you as I do more than is socially appropriate. And he included an emoji face with its tongue hanging out. The 67-year-old claimed that the text was a joke. So this is... his lawsuit that he brought forward.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Interesting. So, I like him as an actor. He's very talented.
Yeah, yep. Prince Harry knows his pregnant wife, Meghan Markle, can't partake in alcohol these days, so he is abstaining in
some. Oh.
Yes.
Did you do that when Rochelle was pregnant?
Hell no. I drank more.
I don't. Honey, you're not drinking this booze. Can I drink it?
I don't know anyone that's done that.
Yeah. No, because you have a designated driver built into your life at this point.
It's like, a designated driver for 9 months.
Now, for him. The truth, Cassie.
Yeah. Yes. But for him, he's always had a designated driver. Yeah,
who's ever piloting the coach.
Yeah. At a black tie reception hosted by the Fijian prime minister, he toasted with water instead of the bubbly.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Lord Cluck Cluck.
He said...
I don't know who the Fiji guy is.
Yeah, the Fijian prime minister. I don't know. They're currently on a 16-day tour of the region. Sadly, the pregnancy has delayed the royal family's scheduled visit to the U.S.
Is she morning sickness?
But when they do come, a royal tot will be in tow. Now, I don't know about... there's been no word because you remember...
Kate Middleton.
Had a really tough... All of her pregnancies
all of them,
were difficult.
There was a special or a specific name for the severity of her morning sickness. Do you remember what that was?
No, I don't recall. But you're right. It was one that is like a notch up from your standard morning sickness. And she had to be in bed rest. Twitter, meanwhile, melted into a puddle at Harry's gesture, declaring him the best husband ever.
Oh, shut up.
Amazeballs.
You hate it when people make you look bad, right, Case?
Not that it makes me look
bad.
Well,
no, it's
bad.
Listen.
He's already a prince.
And it's easy for him, for Christ's sake.
Because he didn't have a glass of champagne. Yeah. He's the best husband ever. Never.
Yeah. Take the kids to soccer practice.
Standards are so low in our world today. I swear to God, I was at a wedding and I went to the bar and I got my wife a glass of wine. And the ladies at the table were like, oh my God, he is so sweet. I got you a glass of wine. Yeah. I got you a glass of wine. Okay. Anyway.
Soapbox over.
Yes. Soapbox over.
There we go.
No, do better, guys, myself included.
It all depends. Exactly. That's the thing. We should just, you know.
Should all be Prince
But
Harry.
Every now and then, it's touching. It depends. It's not every time, but I will do something that I think is standard routine, and I'll get, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
You are just the sweetest. Sasha, my little tootsies. It's so nice. Oh yeah, right there, right at the arch.
It does make the other night for women listening and for husbands. I totally agree. Last night I was working. I had just done something for my wife. She came over and just kissed me on the top of the head and put her and hugged me. And it was you love it. It's what honestly that sex and everything is wonderful and everything. That's great. But that is such a wonderful expression.
Hey, you know what's was funny? You did the voice there, and it made me think of this. So you'll do anything in the world for your children, and so now occasionally, because as you have children, that you might rub their feet or something like that.
Sure.
So now either one of my sons will go, Dad, you mind rubbing my feet? And then they plop this hairy man foot,
giant foot
in my lap, which are bigger than mine, like size 13 foot in my lap, and I'm like cringing as I'm sitting here rubbing this hairy man foot with pointy nails and.
That's awesome.
It's like Dumb and Dumber Preston,
Daddy, can you rub my feet?
Would you give a man a foot massage?
F you. All right, moving on. Flipping Out star Jeff Lewis, his bid to keep his legal battle with the surrogate mother of his daughter under wraps has been dealt a setback. A judge has denied his request to seal the lawsuit and has ruled that the case will go to a jury trial.
Uh-huh.
Alexandra Trent had sued him, his partner, and Bravo Media for airing footage from the delivery room. Remember this, they had told her that they were just filming for their own personal.
And it ended up on the show.
Yes. She claims that the footage and Lewis's comments about her unwaxed vagina caused her to suffer anguish and depression.
What they were upset about is that, what she specifically was upset about is that when the show aired, they had little graphics and arrows that said, yucky.
Ew.
And then they had like animated stink waves coming up from it and animated flies.
Stink waves.
Ew.
That's a band name, Stink Waves.
Stink Waves.
Writing that down.
Oh,
actually,
God.
Animated Stink Waves.
Animated Stink Waves.
I gotta.
Ew. Like in those little those Snapchat and Instagram things where the little guy comes in and holding his nose.
Yeah. So Trent had given birth to Lewis's daughter last year. So there's a setback in that. They've denied his request to seal the lawsuit.
Listen, the tip off should have been pressing that in the maternity ward there was a craft services table.
Aha.
Yeah.
Speaking of pregnancies and babies and all that stuff, Amy Schumer is sharing the less airbrushed side of pregnancy with fans on Tuesday morning. The I Feel Pretty star shared a shot of herself leaning over a toilet with morning sickness, and she joked comparing herself to the pregnant royal Meghan Markle with the phrase MILF alert.
What's the new name for, is it Markle or Sparkle or what's the... Meghan Markle. Markle, yeah, I think it might be Markle Sparkle.
It is Markle Sparkle.
What is it?
Why?
It's the Markle Sparkle.
Oh.
It's her name now. She's got this name, Meghan Markle now. Yeah. She's, when she goes someplace and she bestows her grace on an area, they've received the Markle Sparkle.
She does kind of sparkle.
She does sparkle. Yeah.
Well, there's that strain of weed called Markle Sparkle.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Maybe that's where it's from. Maybe
that's why she's sparkling.
Isn't a sparkle like a cute way of saying fart? It is.
What?
Well, it is now. I just sparkled.
I have never heard the term sparkle used as fart. Have you heard that before?
I've never heard it.
I don't know. It sounded familiar to me. I may have made it up. And if I did, can I copyright that now?
You better patent that now.
Now, I want to patent it now because I think, no.
You want it.
I'm sticking with it,
Let
Steve.
Let him have it. Let him have it.
Thank you, Kathy.
Sorry, I just sparkled. Like for women.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or like babies.
Kathy.
Aww,
babies. You know? It is. Sorry, I sparkled a little.
There are sparkles that come out of my ass.
Oh, my God. It's
really?
Yeah.
Jeez,
was
man.
That clean?
It was clean. Oh, that one wasn't that bad. I went for it. It was fine.
Some days I don't know who you are.
All right. What else do I have here for you? Steve Carell is coming back to the small screen to star opposite Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston in a TV drama for Apple. Carell rose to fame, obviously, on The Office, but since the show's conclusion in 2011, he's been enjoying a career on the big screen.
He has a new movie out.
But he reports that Carell will play a morning TV show anchor struggling to stay relevant, and production begins shortly. No premiere date has been announced, but it's a drama.
Well, here's the deal. So get this. they're saying, the people over at Apple are saying that their service, which is going to be their version of Netflix, is going to be debuting a lot sooner than originally anticipated. They're saying 5 to 6 months.
I played the online trivia game HQ last night. We had Scott Rogowski on the show last month. And tomorrow night, it's an Office-themed one, and they are having a co-star from The Office on. It is not Kate Flannery.
Right.
I asked her. But there will be somebody from The Office on HQ tomorrow night.
By the way, going back to Netflix, you see they've canceled Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
They did. Now, here's the deal. All that stuff is going over to, or we believe, that's the property of the new Disney pay service.
Oh.
So now, of the entire roster of the Jessica Jones, of the Daredevil, Punisher, so the top three are my favorite. Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and the Punisher. But I really did enjoy Luke Cage, and I enjoyed Iron Fist, but I don't know what the story is. Some people are saying, Preston, they're just sort of cutting ties, and then they're going to port it over to the new service. After a while, though, as I'm looking at all these things, you know, you start to daisy chain all these things together, and you're paying a yearly fee for all these. You know, it's going to be
expensive.
Pretty expensive.
Well, you know, so
and they all
out there,
and they, honestly, Casey, they all have content that's worthy of subscribing for.
Yeah, they do, but this is sort of defeating. You know, all these people that are cutting the cord,
yes,
so to speak, are now. Well, unless you're, you know, getting things illegally, right? Like, so I have a Netflix that's under my name. I pay for it, but a lot of people don't.
Well, also, if you do it this way, if you're very discerning and you kind of say, okay, these are the shows that I watch, and you have a more austere vetting process. I think I'm kind of I like to watch a lot of stuff. I like to be bombarded with media and have a big selection. So, but if you're not that way and you know you select shows that you want to watch, you can still do the core. Can Nick, you do it. You know, you don't. I mean, How much TV do you watch?
Well, the way that I watch it is different than the way that I used to watch it. So I've simplified and gotten rid of a lot of things. There are certain things that I miss, but being able to simplify and streamline is also a pleasure in and of itself. It allows you to do other things and, quite frankly, watch less television.
Yeah, you know what, Steve? As a result of all of these selections, I'm at a point now where I don't know what to watch. And I end up watching things that I don't really want to watch.
Yeah. Like Degrassi High.
No, I started watching the second season, Making a Murderer, and regretted that.
Okay. Well, listen, speaking of not watching things, as Andrew Lincoln's exit from The Walking Dead approaches, viewers seem less invested in the AMC show.
It's not. It took a ratings dive,
yeah,
right?
Overall viewership was up 2% to 5 million on October 21st, but the live plus same-day results among adults 18 to 49 were declining 1.94, Deadline reports. The 18 to 49 result also saw a fall of 50%. From what the Greg Nicotero-helmed third episode of Season 8 garnered back on November 5th, 2017. I have found myself, I'm two episodes behind. I watched the first episode of this most current season, And then I was like, oh yeah, I gotta go watch it. I'm losing interest.
It's good.
I will watch all of them.
Yes,
no, I will watch.
And
all
I know
of them.
I know you're on board.
But my excitement level is not nearly where it was.
You know what the difference is? Also, you came. Negan is still around, but you were ramping up to this massive conflict and this massive, you know, battle and all the stuff that was going down. And this is sort of after that. And I think viewers are trying to figure out exactly what am I getting riled up now this time.
Yeah,
so.
But I'm all caught up, and it is. I was thinking about it as I was watching it last. And I'm like, okay, I'm actually interested in this story.
Sure,
they've got you guessing on some things. I'm just sad that they ended up killing off the guy, the star of the Scorpion King Book of Souls.
Oh, wait a second. Don't go talking about people who...
Spoilers.
Off.
That was the first episode. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. So...
What's going on?
Yeah. I actually do want to take that one back, Steve. Thank you. Let's rewind.
So moving on. Warner Brothers.
Sorry, I just sparkled, guys.
That's okay.
Trying to go back to past glory.
Warner Brothers and DC are moving Wonder Woman's 1984 release back 7 months.
I'm not so thrilled about this.
Come on, man. And Sony is snatching up the November 1st, 2019 release date with Elizabeth Banks-helmed Charlie's Angels film, which I'm sure will be fun. Kristen Stewart, Naomi Scott, and Ella Balinska are starring. Patty Jenkins' Wonder Woman 1984 will now be released June of 2020.
Here's the difference, though, and this is what they feel, is that they feel, I believe, the original Wonder Woman was released around that time in early June.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe they think that's a time that's good for it. Mm. And they Tetris these things around in these movie releases, so they're not competing against a similar film or similar style film, they think they have a rhyme or reason to it.
Yeah.
Enough.
All right, then one more story. Khloe Kardashian, we haven't touched on that family at all in this
episode. I know, and it's been glorious.
She continues to add fuel to the fire, that fan speculation that she and Tristan Thompson are Splitsville.
They should be Splitsville.
The star recently reportedly put her plans to move in formally with her baby daddy Thompson on hold.
Uh-huh.
She recently added a quote to her Instagram story that has people thinking that her stay in L.A. may be permanent. She wrote, "Free yourself from negative people.
Free yourself from negative people.
Spend time with nice people who are smart, driven, and like-minded. Relationships should help you, not hurt you," reads the quote.
Well, there you go.
"Surround yourself with the people who reflect the person you want to be."
Choose
friends who are proud to know. You are proud to know people you admire, who love and respect you, people who make your day a little brighter simply by being in it.
She's taking, you know, you're getting that Instagram style vomiting where you just all these inspirational messages come out at the end of a relationship, and I think that's what she's going through right now.
I have a question.
What?
Yeah,
do guys do that?
Sure.
Not a lot. Not as much as I see women do it.
I haven't seen any guys do that. I only see ladies do that, and that's fine. But I just I notice a gender difference usually of. She has power. She is firm.
In an empty field, her heart roars like the lion in the tall grass.
Or the one that's the best is, you know, is that she is coal under pressure, becomes the diamond.
Yes.
Things like that.
But only if she's squashed with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of metric tons full of pressure.
For millions of years.
Her heart glows like the embers of a love lost, but she will rise again.
Like the phoenix
like
from the
phoenix
flame.
From the flames.
Mm-hmm.
Like
the one of 13 phoenixes.
Yes, exactly. But there's a lot of that that goes around.
I hate when people write it about themselves.
Well, it's always about themselves.
Like if you're saying about somebody else, you know, like, oh, they are.
Right, right, they are, yeah.
Yeah. But like when you're saying I am, I'm like, oh. Like, you know, real life people, not the, you
what
know.
I love is when you don't know exactly who they're talking about.
What happened?
Then you have to ask, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Question mark, question mark, question mark.
And then they say, mind your own business.
Yeah, right.
You put it on social media.
Don't you have any decency?
I don't ask ever.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Oh, I've done it.
Could you?
You've asked?
What? No. that you drive them crazy when you don't ask.
Oh, yeah.
In
no,
fact,
I don't.
If at the bottom of a seven paragraph thing, right, dragging herself from the hole that she and the emotion and the heart, and then you say, "Hey, are you going to go see that new Queen movie?"
What?
And sometimes it could be, you know, dragging herself out of the hole. What happened? They were out of skinny lattes.
Yeah, right. Seriously.
Oh, Preston. Oh. And then her soul was, the cage was open and her soul was free to wander the cosmos. All right, Arby's or Roy Rogers?
No, I never comment. I'll call my best friend and say, do you know what she's talking about?
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. Steve, can you be Manthi? Is everything okay?
Is everything okay? I'm just reading your Instagram post. I was worried. I just wanted to know if you were that salmon trying to swim upstream. The inspirational salmon who avoids the claws of the bear but still manages to be with everyone else and find love. Laying your eggs in the river. I actually started crying.
That, now that I would be okay about if you were talking about yourself.
Yes.
Right.
All right, let's go to clips here. Riverdale,
yes,
has been labeled a much darker reimagining of the beloved Archie comics, but the actors still try to keep it light on the set. And here, show star Lily Reinhart talks about the cast and crew having fun behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really fun shooting environment, especially when we're all together. Machen always makes me laugh. Not on purpose. She's just really goofy and silly.
Is that Betty?
Yes.
Okay.
Love her.
Yeah, she's
I love
great.
Veronica.
Veronica's
stunning. I love everybody.
She's Veronica's stunning.
Hello, Ma.
Who's the actor? Nick, can you look up the actress who plays Veronica?
Uh-huh. On Riverdale? Wait, do they make out in the scene?
No, that's a guy. That's her and a guy.
She's got long hair there. Yeah. That Veronica Vaughn is.
What's that?
Some piece of ace.
One fine piece of ace. Veronica is played by Camila Mendes.
Yes.
She is lovely. Riverdale will have a new episode airing tonight, 8 o'clock on the CW. Let's do the next one. As shows run, it's normal for main characters to go through drastic changes. Here, Tori DeVito talks about how her character, Dr. Natalie Manning, has morphed on the show Chicago Med.
I feel like my character has changed and morphed in so many different ways. I mean, when she started the show off, she was pregnant and grieving over her husband who had passed. And now I feel like she's at a really good place where she is able to accept love into her life. She's kind of learned how to navigate having a kid and having a career.
Thing sucks!
New episode of Chicago Med. It's on tonight at 8 o'clock. On NBC. All right.
Don't they have every service available in Chicago is now represented in a TV show.
I think you're right. Yeah. All right. So that's it in the Entertainment Report. I got some movie passes for Bohemian Rhapsody. We have the screening tonight, the UA King of Prussia, 7:30. You'll need to be there by 7. Let's take three callers who want to get on board, 215-263-WMMR. Go ahead and call now. The movie is on us. I'd like to also remind you we have a secret text word today. We have your chance to win some tickets to see Disturbed. February 18th, Wells Fargo Center with 3 Days Grace opening the show. There's a pre-sale that's going on now till 10 o'clock on Thursday. You can get the details at WMMR.com. If you want to win tickets, text the word secret to 39333. See if you can pick those up at some point this morning. $1,000 chance to win coming up this morning. Guess some more. We'll be back in just a little bit.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Thank you, Kathy. The ladies from Delilah's have arrived. I told you they're prompt.
Well, they are always absolutely perfectly on time. They know what to do on the can. They're always ebullient, Preston. There's a good word for you.
Ebullient.
Yes, full like of energy that. And up and positive.
We have Cece and Cassandra and Mia who are all here this morning. And obviously they are dressed for Halloween because they have these kind of, well, their outfits have
Skeleton hand bras.
Thank you. I couldn't quite.
I work in the industry. My father actually made his initial fortune on the skeleton hand bras.
I didn't know that.
Was he related to the Billy Bob Teeth
Absolutely,
guy?
Absolutely, yeah, okay. His cousin. Right. And then, of course, World War II broke out.
All right, well, today they have the trick-or-treat party at Delilah's, and their 27th anniversary party is hosted by DJ Catanova, one of the most sought-after international female DJs and producers in the business.
That sounds pretty impressive.
So make sure you make a reservation and give them a call if you want to, 215-625-2800, extension 0. So the ladies are on the cam this morning.
Do you know it's another aspect of the place, which many people say, and they think you're joking when you say it, it is a top-level steakhouse.
Is it?
Yes.
I've not had their steak. We'll have to go and sample that someday. So there was a study that came out, a new survey, actually. It's a British survey. We've been seeing a lot of British surveys lately.
You mean in England?
Yeah, and we're headed to London tomorrow.
Well, we can actually go verify the validity of this.
Well, it's about sex injuries.
Oh, yeah.
And they are more common than they think. So the Euroclinics company had asked British people about their sex habits and found that 15% of participants have hurt themselves while getting down and dirty.
There was just a report. There was somebody, I was reading the newspaper, The Sun, and we're in anticipation of going over there to tabloidy newspaper. And there was a woman who was suing. She was having sex, and she, I guess, was in the superior position up and fell off and now is in a wheelchair. And she was, I think she sued the bed manufacturer.
Yeah, I had it in the Bizarre File.
Was that it? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, she was launched off of it.
There we go. Okay. Yeah,
and
she's
paralyzed.
Yes, paralyzed. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you guys know, this isn't technically an injury. You ever had a cramp?
Oh, yes. Doing it? Oh, yeah.
That sucks because that kills it.
I mean,
like you're done, like a Charlie horse or something like that, or, and then you, and it's like, oh, ow, ah!
Or they think you're really hamming it up.
Right.
This guy's really going for gold.
And I'm wondering if that would fall under, that's not necessarily.
Have you ever had a really bad one?
A cramp?
Yeah. I have. So, because listen, you can stretch all you want, but there's some positions you only are going to do, you know, when you're having sex.
You mean you can't do those at the gym?
Yes, they won't let you. I'm sorry, I'm having sex with this bench.
I'm sorry, I'm doing the wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
So, now, it's interesting. I believe, the most injuries reported, and I will be delicate with my description.
I appreciate it.
No problem, Bill, are small tears.
Tear and sex and skin and flesh. Are we talking the point of entry?
Yeah.
Garage door?
Yeah, the garage door tear.
And the carport?
They were at the top of the list. And small tears, it says, usually heal on their own. But when it comes to large tears, you need to go see a doctor. And one way to prevent future cuts.
I think any tear warrants a trip to the doctor.
One way to prevent future cuts is lubrication.
Yes.
They're saying. So.
Can you use like one of those shoe expanders?
The shoe tree?
Yeah.
Give it a go.
Just to make sure.
Mm-hmm. So they said survey participants also reported that they suffered from carpet burn during sex.
I've had that.
Yeah.
And then what you do is in the moment of bliss, you're unaware. It's like when you come in after being outside in the cold and you scratch because it's itchy and you don't realize just how much you're scratching until everything warms up again.
Yeah. You don't realize.
So in the heat of passion, oh, my God, I've whittled my kneecaps down to the bone.
Mm hmm. Wasn't it Marilyn, formerly from the Preston and Steve Show?
Yes.
She was in a hot tub,
Right? It's a wooden hot tub.
Yeah.
And she like, the same situation.
Yeah. And her nickname was Knees after
Knees,
that,
yes.
Yeah.
But she gave us this information. It was like we found it secondhand.
No. She absolutely told that story. And then you have the broken penis, which happens during intercourse. And that can be extremely painful, and it could sometimes require surgery.
Have you ever come close to it?
I've had that moment where it's like, oops.
Yes.
Don't do that again. Yes.
Mine was in a car door. It wasn't having sex.
Oh, dear God.
No, it was, it is, this it's part of life, and these are the kind of things you can encounter, but it can be very dangerous, and it can be very debilitating things that occur.
Yeah, there was a guy who actually... What's his name? Ross Asdorian, a New York City-based video producer, suffered one after a college hookup gone awry. And it says he had he wrote a memoir called Broken Banana. And it was 4 months, 2 surgeries, and $60,000 in medical bills.
4 months, 2 surgeries?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that joy?
That's pretty nasty.
What kind of donut do you sit on when you've had that?
Yeah. Let me go to Dalton. Hey, Dalton, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Hey, so I just wanted to share my story.
Yeah.
I didn't break my banana, luckily, but I did have a pretty serious injury.
During the act, yeah. What happened?
Yeah. So it was animal style. Can I say that?
Yeah, yes. Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Cool. We'll assume we're speaking of maybe of the canine variety.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You see where it's going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I had a torn meniscus, but that wasn't holding me back at the time. I got kind of low. The bed was lower.
Yeah.
So I got kind of low, and I was executing a pelvic thrust.
Right.
And
you knew the Russian judges were going to be hard, so you're giving it your all. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I went for it, and I felt the pop. I laid down in the bed.
Ooh.
And I was just kind of writhing there for a minute.
Yeah.
And
what part of your body had hurt?
Oh, it was my ACL.
Oh, your ACL. Yeah.
That's not how you spell penis.
No, it was his knee, dude. No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But though, yeah, you know what, Dalton? That popping sensation is what has been described when you have the phallic crack,
break.
The break.
Yeah.
That there's, it's like a bubble wrap almost.
I felt it in my knee, and I would not want to feel that anywhere closer to my groin.
That's so what was your recovery like? I mean, an ACL, that's not playing around. That's a bad injury.
Well, right now I'm 6 weeks out of surgery, and I'm just getting the brace off.
How long ago did this happen?
It was over the summer.
Wow.
But I only had gotten surgery pretty recently.
And when you're in the throes of it, Dalton, you're in the pleasure realm, and you're not aware of how perhaps overextended you are, or right? Isn't that the experience?
Oh, I was lost in the moment.
Lost in the moment.
Absolutely. Hey, let me ask you this, Dalton. Not unlike certain people, you know, people who may have had a bad experience with tequila, they can no longer drink it again. Are you now staying away from this animal position, or do you think you might someday have the gumption to go at it again?
Well, I could tell you, when I had the brace on, and after about 4 weeks of PT, I started feeling pretty strong.
Yeah.
So we went at it and with nothing but the brace on, and I'm happy to report that there was no re-injury.
There you go.
Okay.
Though I would have felt, I agree with you. I know what you're saying, Preston, though.
It's right back on that horse.
I had food poisoning from pork lo mein.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten it since.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know. Yeah.
It can happen.
Yeah, or right. And having sex with pork lo mein could be a difficult thing,
too. Thank you, Dalton. Appreciate it. We go to, you make sure it's not really hot.
Take the chopsticks.
I'm going to go to Brian. Brian, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's up, Brian?
Not much, man. I also have a little story about the same kind of animal position.
Okay.
I love that.
We're going at kind of at a downward angle. Everything's going
yes.
great.
Yeah.
You know, she's going a little bit crazy.
Right.
But she kind of whips her head back, and I'm leaning down at the time, and the top of her head catches my chin, I guess, on the right angle.
Dude, she hit the button, yeah.
My face plants into the carpet, dead weight, snoring, out cold in the carpet, drooling.
She knocked you out.
She hit the button.
Knocked me out cold.
Oh, you were knocked out?
Dude.
I had rug burn on my face.
Oh, my God.
That is sensational. You know, it's horrible in the moment, but what a story you have.
I wonder... Yeah. I wonder what her sensation was like. All of a sudden,
oh my God.
She stood up and went ding ding.
But all of a sudden, dead weight flattens her to the ground.
Seriously,
wow. Damn, I'm good.
I mean, we are married. You know, 10 years, three kids later, so it all ended up working out. But yeah, I mean, that story comes up all the time whenever anyone wants to talk about an awkward encounter.
Brian, it had to be at exactly the right / wrong angle and to lay you out like that. But that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
I don't know if you guys.
Thanks, guys.
I don't know if you guys remember, but it was a friend of mine that you all know who was hooking up with a girl. She came out of the closet in lingerie, and she kind of was excited. So she jumped on, kind of gave like a little hop onto the bed. Well, she jumped, I guess, a little bit harder than she thought, and she catapulted off and into the windowsill and knocked herself out.
Wow!
Oh my God. And the guy was just standing there, and he was like, "Oh my God, oh my God!" And he had to, obviously, he helped her, and then nothing ended up happening because she had a huge egg on her head. She knocked herself out.
That's
kinda
hilarious.
Laid her in the bed. And then,
who is it? Can you jump down?
No, I cannot. I cannot say who it is,
right.
But I will tell you off air.
Okay. I will tell you. You can write it down. I promise I won't say it. But the Maybe that's a good course of action, Preston. If you're going to have sex on a particular bed for the first time, mm-hmm. kind of jump on it a little bit. See the give on
see
it.
See what you're dealing with.
Before you end up like see one of the flying Willendas.
I will go to... Oh. Hang on, let me see. Let me see the name. Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. He's the guy.
Wow. All right, let me go to Mark. Hey, Mark, good morning.
We're not going
to
say exactly who.
No, no. Why not?
Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. What's up, buddy?
Broke my ankle.
What?
Fractured my ankle in the Poconos. My wife and I went up to the Poconos and...
Is that the position or where you were?
Where we were.
Okay. Were you in a champagne hot tub, by the way?
No. In a regular hard-ass little bed.
That's right. The other room. Hard-ass little bed. Yeah. We have two suites, champagne and hard-ass little bed. All right.
Yeah, it was awful.
And do you have in common the position that the other callers were talking about?
No, this was the missionary position.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. And my wife is...
vocal?
God. You're really tiptoeing around.
No, listen. In his realm, you did a good job. You tried. And from where what you could have said, believe it or not, we can't even say that. What? So,
right. No, but it's Mark. I'll fix you. Yes, she's a sprinkler.
Right. Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Like a sparkle.
Right.
Yeah. We usually have a mat of some sort down to catch it.
Good Lord.
Why don't you just do it in a children's wading pool?
Oh, my God.
And she didn't want to, so she pushed me off.
Oh, my God.
And when she pushed me off, I went right back onto my ankle.
Oh, my God.
Dude, this has so many levels of...
So,
I don't know what to do with it.
I'm trying. Listen, and we have to keep the FCC license. The one who's the joker, I can't even get a credit card in this one.
Mark, when you tell this story to your friends, how do you tell it? Is your wife cool with you telling this story?
He usually gets up and says, Pastor, I have something to tell the country.
My wife would... Kill me if I did that.
Oh, so you go on the radio.
You should be okay with this.
Yeah. So yeah.
Way to work.
Wow.
So how bad was the injury, Mark?
What's that?
How bad was the injury?
It was a bad fracture. It wasn't broken.
Of the ankle. That's painful.
Yeah. That is very painful, especially at that angle when you're trying to dodge the fire hose.
Yeah, you're all soaking wet.
Oh, my God.
The next morning.
I just took the ice bucket challenge.
Oh my God!
I woke up and got out of bed and fell on the floor. I'm like, "What happened? What is wrong?"
You didn't realize it till the next day that you're in that bad of pain.
But that's a good point, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
So many of these occur, and you do not realize it until the morning after you've right, like rug burns and.
You know, when we go to work every day, you never know what kind of stories you're going to get, or what comedy you're going to get out of Steve. And
wow,
and then you get stories like that.
Like that. And that reaffirms your faith.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I wish that was just, you know, how do I put this delicately?
Yeah.
She's
a female.
You can't say
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, let's go to a couple other calls here. Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah,
let me go
that.
To Adam. Hi, Adam. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, Adam. What's up, buddy?
I am so glad that this is a live show and not, you know, recorded because you're traveling. I have the funniest story that anybody's ever heard.
Okay.
A friend of mine from college, he moved. I live in Delaware. He had come to University of Delaware from New York. He moved down here, went to college, and then he moved back after college. We kept in contact, and I talked to him this one time. I was like, hey, how's it going? He's like, oh, I'm doing all right. I'm on my way home from the hospital. I was like, what happened? He's like, well, we went out to dinner last night, my girlfriend and I, and I proposed. She accepted. We go home, you know, back to the apartment. We start celebrating and, you know, we're making out on the couch and we start going at it. And, you know, we're really into it because we're celebrating.
Yeah.
And I'd forgotten that
very
I bought
passionate.
Some furniture.
Okay. He bought some furniture and he forgot about it. Okay.
So he picks her up off the couch and throws her down on the coffee table.
Oh my God.
But the coffee table is now a glass top coffee
oh,
table.
No.
So let me ask you quickly, what existed before the glass top coffee table? Just a regular wooden coffee table?
Just a wooden, yeah.
Okay.
So he throws her through the glass.
Oh.
She happened to be fine because of the way that she landed.
Right.
Lucky.
He was coming down and hit his head on the edge of the wooden frame that held the glass and gashed his forehead. So I was like, oh, my God, that sucks. You know, it totally ruined your evening. He's like, are you kidding me? She held my shirt on there so we could finish.
She held the shirt on his head wound so they could finish.
What a woman.
Right. So once
he chose wisely.
Yeah, 15 stitches across his forehead.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine? So, all right, you raise a whole bunch of different stories concerning non-traditional locations in the house and injuries that are incurred.
And kudos to your friend, Adam, for being able to finish things off with a 15-stitch gash in his head before he even went to the doctor.
I get thrown off if the cat comes in the room.
Right?
You're right. All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Wow.
Could you imagine that? You throw your partner through a glass coffee table, and you still manage to complete?
Wow.
That's love.
No. He's a hero.
How come you never hear about that?
They're both heroes.
In love songs.
Let's see. Wow, we got a bunch. I didn't even know we were going to get all this.
No.
As far as phone calls go this morning. Let me go to Dave, because he called like 15 minutes ago and worked with an ambulance company. Hi.
Dave!
Dave, you're on the air.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
It was only 13 minutes ago I called, but we're good.
Okay, fair enough.
So, I've been working in EMS for 25 years, and, you know, they always say once you think you've seen it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, years ago, I go out to this ambulance call, my partner and I go out, and they just send us out because they say it's an emergency transportation. Okay. They're like, okay, there's no information in this. We get into the house, we knock on the door, we wait for the cops to get there, nobody's answering the door. We finally get into the house, and we go up to the bedroom, and we see this guy on top of this woman. And they're just there. We're like, what the hell are we walking into?
Huh.
And we come to find out that they were sitting there, they're having sex. And we find out that the condom they were using, she had a reaction to, and she swelled.
Oh, my God. My
oh, and they got
goodness.
Stuck?
They were stuck.
Like cats.
Well, yes. Yeah,
so I've actually had.
And they're like, go ahead. How the hell are we supposed to do this? We try getting them off each other. She was swelled up so tight around him, he thought he was going to lose it.
Whoa.
I have never heard about this. Now, to that point, animals sometimes, in fact, my own dog, Chelsea, got it on sort of with the neighborhood dog. And at a certain point, nature dictates that they lock to complete. But I've never heard about this. Yeah. So was it a latex reaction?
Yes, she had the latex allergy. She swelled up around me, lost all circulation.
Oh my God!
Put them both on a stretcher and get him to the hospital. And the coup de grace for it, the hospital had to call their spouses.
They were having an affair.
That's a legit story.
That's
Dave.
Legit. Are you sure?
It's legit. This is no BS. I can't make this crap up.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
That's
that is the worst thing I've ever seen. We stayed at the hospital until they were actually able to get them off of him. He didn't lose anything, but other than his marriage, probably. But
yeah.
So Dave, let me ask you this.
I don't even want to imagine it.
Dave, the technicality of getting two people onto one gurney. How did you do that?
We had to call the fire department out. We had to get a bunch of people out there to get them up. They weren't that tiny.
You guys don't carry love gurneys? Like love seats?
No, we don't carry the love gurneys. Okay. Right. We wanted a heart-shaped stretcher for them. We couldn't find one.
Thanks, Dave.
Just for those very intimate moments.
I think the spouses came and said, you know what, guys? I think you have learned your lesson. And
yeah.
You're in trouble enough.
Oh,
right?
Really?
Yeah.
You think
yeah.
so?
Yeah.
Well, everybody's
yeah.
understanding.
Maybe they didn't have supper that night. They got sent to their rooms, yeah. but.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that I had no idea that that could happen to that level. Mm-hmm. And I'm almost I believe him. He says he says it's true.
Yeah.
But it's right at the line.
Did it happen? Wait, I can't remember the beginning of the story. Did he witness this or did he hear about it?
No, he said he went to it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he was there.
Because
right.
you're always suspect when you go, my friend told me.
He said 25 years in the business and he's never seen anything.
Sasquatch told me.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Dave. Hi, Dave. Good morning. You don't have to hit the sound effect. Gadzooks, buddy. What's up?
Hey, I got a neck injury I incurred one time giving a lady oral pleasure. She decided that I hit a good spot and shifted left, and I heard a pop and spent 6 weeks in a neck brace.
And so
2 weeks of work.
So did you ever have to fully or did you
offer a clarification as to how you injured your neck at work?
Not at work, but I did have to tell the female ER doctor what happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, not, you know, I believe your story, but that
jerk wasn't an explanation for her.
That's a whole plot line in Chasing Amy. They talk about injuries that happen while going down on partners and whatever. And so, like, Jason Lee and the other lady go back and forth talking about those types of stories. And it's a funny part in Chasing Amy.
Interesting. Dave, how is your neck now?
Well, this was about 20 years ago, so I'm back in the game. And better.
Back and better than ever.
All right.
Thanks, Dave, the overachiever. let's go to, we'll go to, Dana. Hi, Dana. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Dana?
Okay. So my husband is Pip Freak.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We know Pip Freak.
Oh, hi, Dana. Pip Freak is, he came in and tried to break the world record for body piercings. It was insane.
Like 1600 or something.
It was crazy.
Yeah. And today's his 40th birthday.
Oh. Happy
if you're
birthday.
Listening, baby, I'm going to air our dirty laundry.
All right, go ahead. Let's hear it. What happened?
Okay, so the other night, like about a week ago, we were in the hot tub. And, you know, it's now that we have a baby, it's a little difficult, you know, to get some privacy. So that's kind of where we, you know, have some fun. And he got a little carried away. And I ended up with, like, internal injuries, like, on my right side, like, up by my heart and my shoulder, because he got a little carried away, and I was bent over the edge of the hot tub.
Uh-huh.
And I'm
there goes that position again.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And
I'm
still, like, and it still hurts. And, like, I couldn't sneeze. I could barely breathe. Like,
Did you fracture ribs?
I don't know. It's a good possibility. He was like, well, why don't you go to the doctor? And I'm like, I'm not going to the doctor. I think I'll be okay. And, you know, so, but yeah, he was like, he felt so bad. And he's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, it's not your fault. We still have fun.
And so you had bruising and so forth?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It was wild. And like I said, like, I'm still kind of recovering.
Did you,
I'm like, oh, geez.
Did you know it at the time or did you feel it the day after?
Yeah. No, as 2 days later.
Okay.
Oh,
see, there you go. They sneak up on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks. Thanks, Dana. Give Pip Freak our best. We'll see you later.
I will.
All right. Yeah. Well, apparently it's very, very common to hurt yourself in the middle of the act. And
I suspected some certain, I think you and I were thinking, okay, common injuries that you would expect.
Yeah.
Nothing like what we've been hearing.
No. I mean, this we're talking about the most common are small tears.
Yeah.
And then you have carpet burns.
Right.
As well.
Not getting stuck.
Not being thrown through a glass window.
By a jet spray.
Or something. Yes. Oh, my God. That was.
Yeah. Let me see if I can frame this delicately.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Interesting. So
the wallpaper came off.
The moral is just be careful, be aware of your surroundings.
Abstinence.
Just complete 100% abstinence from sex for the rest of your life.
There you go.
And you'll be okay. I would like to clear the phone lines and give away some movie passes because we have a screening of Bohemian Rhapsody. It is tonight at the UA King of Prussia. We'll be at 7:30. You'll need to be there by 7. I'm going to give away three more sets of passes, 215-263-WMMR, so go ahead and give us a call. Right now, we have amazing ladies from Delilah's on our hottie cam this morning. We have Cece and Cassandra and Mia, and they have their big trick-or-treat party tonight. So there's a lot going on. I'll give you some more of the details a little bit later on. But in the meantime, take a look at the hottie cam because they're wearing their special Halloween-themed outfits this morning.
Yes.
And they usually come with some costume changes.
I think so.
So we'll take a break. We'll come back in a moment. We have your chance to win $1,000 coming up with Birthday Bucks. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day as well. So those things, along with the Bizarre File, are coming up next.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger begins Monday, November 26th at Xfinity Live. The Business Challenge is such a big part of Camp Out, and props to Subaru of America for leading the way in challenging other companies to get involved and make a difference. Heritage Business Systems, your authorized Canon copier dealer, is encouraging any size business, large or small, to donate. One business will be selected at random to receive a Canon full-color copy, print, and scan image runner advance. It's a 36-month lease with service from Heritage. The Preston and Steve live broadcast from your place of business is still up for grabs for the largest donation. Go to WMMR.com/campout for a list of especially needed food items and all business challenge details.
Thanks, Kath. In about a minute, we're going to go live on Fox Good Day. But I do want to remind you, shortly after that, we will have your opportunity to win $1,000 as Birthday Bucks is happening once again. So we'll get you that word, tell you how to enter it, and maybe win that money. How about that? In the meantime, on our hottie cam, we have the lovely ladies of Delilah's who are here this morning. Cece and Cassandra and Mia right now. Wearing their hand bra outfits, their skeleton
hand bras.
There's a big party tonight. It's a trick or treat at Delilah's, their 27th anniversary party, and they have their 10th annual pole championship competition and performances by Delilah's dance team apparently taking place.
Nothing
tonight.
But Polish, right?
No, pole. As
the pole, of course. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So that is tonight, and get your tickets. It's gonna be a big event. Let's go live on Fox. See what they want to talk about today.
Good song.
Hey, Susie Q and President Steve.
Hey, what's up, guys?
We have a weird question for you. I went through this on a. Well, we were matching almost. I went through this on a plane once. I'm very irritated by the person sitting next to me. But the dude sneezed, and I did say, bless you. Do you say bless you every time you hear a sneeze, even if you're with somebody you don't like?
It's a pretty immediate reaction.
Yeah.
Pretty, you know, but...
It's reflexive.
I think that maybe I have done that before. There's also a, there's a distance issue. How far away the person is.
How far were you, like in a parking lot, I've done it. What do you do, about 20 yards?
Yeah, no.
Football field.
15 yards, maybe 10 yards, something like that. But I will, jokingly, if I hear somebody across the room, I'll be like, bless you, you know, something like that.
Aww.
I think it's kind of a neat little idea to snub someone that way if you really don't like them and they happen
I'm glad you sneeze. Yeah.
To be honest, second off your life.
I hope it's demons.
The whole bless you thing is pretty silly to me, I think, but I see it as
why you're chasing away evil spirits, Preston.
Well, you know what? Now that I think about it practically, Steve, you're right.
Yeah, come on.
No, but it is a courtesy, and I see it that way.
Yeah, let's talk about how it got started. I guess when you sneeze, your heart, the theory was your heart was stopping, and you might be dead in a matter of seconds, and so God bless you. I hope you go to heaven.
I thought it was like the Black Death or something like that.
That's what I thought.
One of the symptoms of one of the great plagues that...
it was actually a novelty item that fraternities used to do.
No. And they would bless you, hoping that you weren't...
sick from the plague. That's what I heard. But listen, there are a couple of different stories.
Yeah.
I was going to say, who should I believe here?
Well, them.
But I always debate, when someone does it, they sneeze more than once. Like, do I have to say it every time? Well, or if you say it once, are they
like a three-timer?
Here's what Preston and I do in the morning. So the first time...
You want to pretend?
Yeah.
Okay, so we work together in a quiet office in the early morning hours, and I'll be like, two.
Bless you.
Two. Uh-huh. And then, so his second one is that. It's always... Hey.
And then
the third one is just... Hey.
Because it becomes daunting after a while, especially if you're a serial sneezer.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard after three sneezes, you can make a wish, and it'll come true.
Oh, is that right?
And then
a leprechaun becomes a man.
I knew a guy in college who sneezed a lot, but that was a whole other story.
Oh, yeah, from the cocaine, right?
Who on your staff has the loudest sneeze? Because I think the louder, the more I will say bless you.
No,
Kathy?
It's Casey.
You think Casey?
Oh, yeah.
And it's not my fault.
No, it's not. I'm not giving you a hard time.
I know, but I used to hold it in, and I would sneeze. I would be like, like that, and then
you can actually hurt yourself.
Yeah, you're like your brain's going to explode if you continue to do that.
Medical knowledge. Yeah.
Casey I let it out.
Casey does.
Yeah.
You change the end.
Have fun in London.
Bye.
Bless you.
Bless you guys. I guess we're wrapping it up now.
They wrap it up much different than
Here's the problem. They got like 5 or 6 minute clips, and we can go for 45 minutes.
Seriously.
We need to wrap it up with them sometime. Just, you know, like
right
into it. All right, we got to go. Hey, thanks a lot for checking in, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Well, they just cut to us in the air.
All right, we have to move on.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I do like that. All right, it's 8 o'clock. Let's do this.
MMR's Birthday Bucks. Birthday Bucks.
Let's do this thing where we give away $1,000 from MMR's Birthday Bucks Part 2. And the key word this hour is credit.
Ooh.
C-R-E-D-I-T. You have until 8:15 to enter it via WMMR's mobile app or at WMMR.com.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
All right. One winner selected at random wins $1,000 in this company-wide contest. And the word again is credit. C-R-E-D-I-T. Good luck from MMR.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
This morning is brought to you by Heritage Business Systems. The document imaging equipment solution is Heritage Business Systems. Service, satisfaction, reliability. That's Heritage Business Systems, your authorized Canon copier dealer. This is a tragic story, but very definitely bizarre. A 34-year-old rapper who fell to his death in British Columbia while performing a stunt that involved rapping while walking on the wing of a plane was killed.
And there's video of it, yes? I believe there is.
I haven't seen video of it, no. A beacon of light to follow your dreams, his management team had said. That's what they said he was. John James McMurray died Saturday filming a project that he had been working on for months. He trained intensively for this stunt, his press release said. However, as John got further out onto the wing of the plane, it caused the small Cessna to go into a downward spiral that the pilot could not correct. John held on to the wing until it was too late, and by the time he let go, he didn't have any time to pull a chute, and he impacted and died instantly. The team said that the plane and the pilot later landed safely. McMurray was born in Calgary, grew up skiing in the Rocky Mountains, and he became an accredited professional skier. But after suffering a broken back and a shattered heel, he poured his ambition into his music career. They said his passion was for making music, videos, and performing stunts. Combined together, his parents, brother, wife, and countless friends are mourning him, and a GoFundMe page has been set up to help with his celebration. By the way, so police are investigating this, but he was an amazing skier. He was the first in the world to backflip from one rail to another rail. So he was one of those type of skiers.
So he was top level then.
Yeah, he did all those crazy acrobatics.
Isn't it kind of wild, though, that he goes out to the edge of the wing, which causes the plane to start to go into a spiral?
Yeah.
You wouldn't think that just the weight of one body would be able to shift.
It depends on the wind resistance, you know. Like,
yeah.
if it catches it the right way, it can totally alter the way the plane is flying.
I mean, I know when you go for skydiving, and a lot they'll have you sit in the plane based on weight.
Yep.
Dispersal.
Same thing with a helicopter. You sit in very specific seats depending on your weight, so it can be an issue. It's it's ballast, so.
You just wouldn't think it'd be able to do that, but I guess it did.
That's terrible, yeah. All right, lighter story. A Quebec man whose frisky husky impregnated a neighbor's chow chow has been ordered to pay $800 in vet fees and court costs. According to a judgment last month, the husky broke into a fenced yard that was home to the chow chow named Bella. Judge Elaine Trudell wrote that thanks to thanks to the husky's handiwork, Bella found herself with an unexpected pregnancy. The dog underwent surgery to terminate that pregnancy. Bella's owner, claiming the husky's owner neglected the control to control his animal, sought compensation for veterinary fees and a damaged screen door.
Did they say what position they were in, Preston?
It was a missionary. Yes. The owner of the husky.
I want to see your face.
Did not appear in court to give his version of the events, and the judge found in favor of Bella's owner, awarding her $711.50 plus interest and another $101 in court costs.
I want to see what a husky chow looks like.
Trudell came to his ruling based on the testimony of Bella's owner and a municipal employee. He noted that Quebec's civil code makes an owner liable for damages caused by his animal, even if it is being cared for by someone else or has escaped. And that is, they got to pay for it.
I think that's about right.
Yeah. All right. And then one more?
Yeah, one more.
Oh. One more.
Okay. Our guest is here.
Okay. All right. So we got to move along. Let me make sure it's good. This is a good one. Okay. A man is behind bars after a drunken night ended with a car being lit on fire and a pumpkin being thrown into the air.
Sounds like a great night.
Grant Clean faces a charge of knowingly burning and exploding.
Is that Mr. Clean's first name?
After allegedly lighting a Jeep on fire in his neighborhood. And it all started Sunday night after officers responded to reports of a vehicle on fire in a driveway.
Yeah.
The owner reported that his 2015 Jeep was set on fire. Another vehicle at the residence was not lit on fire, but it appeared to have feces smeared all over the driver's seat.
So who wins in that one?
After the fire, police received a call from Clean's parents stating that their son was back home. Because earlier in the evening, officers responded to a domestic disturbance at the residence after Clean became upset that his dad had flushed his pot down the toilet.
You Clean, son of a bitch.
So Clean took a vodka bottle with him and proceeded to walk to the bar. On the way to the bar, he allegedly stopped at a grocery store and threw a pumpkin into the air to see how high he could throw it.
Okay. Wonder how high I could throw this pumpkin.
Once the pumpkin smashed to the ground, Clean was confronted by an employee, but he kept walking toward the bar. Clean told officers
Clean it up yourself, loser.
That he watched the Chiefs game and then he consumed more alcohol before walking home. He denied knowing anything about the vehicle fire and told officers he did not remember the walk home. When he was arrested, Clean's jeans were covered with feces and a lighter was found in his pocket.
That stuff.
Clean told officers that he does not drink frequently, but when he does drink, he drinks too much.
You know, maybe just let him smoke pot.
Yeah. That might be the better option.
None of this would have happened if Dad hadn't flushed his stash.
Yep, and there you go. That's what I have for you.
Where did you say that was?
In the Bizarre File. I didn't, but it was in Lee Summit, Missouri.
Okay.
My old home state.
You know where that is, Lee Summit?
Yeah, I can't remember. I'm familiar with the name, but I don't remember where it's
considered the Paris of Missouri.
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah.
All right, you have until 8:15, gang, to get the word credit sent over to us via WMMR's mobile app and WMMR.com. Either one of those will work, and that's the birthday buck. So good luck to you. We're going to take a break. As Casey said, our guest is here. Jason Reitman will be in our studio in just a moment. So we'll have him in, and don't forget the ladies of Delilah's are on our hottie cam this morning because of their big trick-or-treat party and 27th anniversary going on tonight. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, thank you, Kathy. So we've had the Philadelphia Film Festival taking place, and the next guest's film is not premiering until November 21st, but if you had partaken upon all these movies that are available, you would have gotten to see his movie last night because there was a screening of it.
Yes.
And we are happy to have him back in our studio yet again, and he's brought you so many great films in one way, shape, or the other over the years, Up in the Air, Thank You for Smoking, Juno, Whiplash, just to name a few, and now... Here to talk about the front runner, we have Mr. Jason Reitman. Yay. Good to see you again, man.
It's good to see you. I just really feel bad for your audience that, you know, they were listening to all these great stories about sex injuries, and then you're like, let's talk about art film, guys.
Well, you know, this way we can say, hey, look, we're well-rounded, and this gives it credibility. Even if we're not well-rounded, we get the illusion of being well-rounded.
But... I almost buy it.
Congratulations on this. There's a lot of buzz over the movie, which is called Front Runner. It's the story of Gary Hart's run towards the presidency and the beginning of a I think, and as you rightly point out, and I've read interviews with you about the film, it was sort of a flashpoint for when news became tabloid and things that used to sort of like, you know, like in the Kennedy years, the press sort of said, you know, you got your personal thing, we got it, we'll cover it to some extent. And then, you know, or even before, there were some things that just were not, let's focus on the politics and this is what we're here to talk about. But then it became something wholly other. And I remember as, you know, the Gary Hart story was unfolding and it just now, of course, we have a multitude of news sources, but the country was focused. And so like in 1 week, a guy who looked like he was it, he was going to be the next president. It just came crashing down.
Yeah, I mean, he was the actual front runner for the presidency. He was, you know, 10 points ahead of George Bush and 25 points ahead of any Democrat.
And he was Kennedy-esque. Yeah,
handsome, charming, smart, big ideas. I mean, here's a guy who in the mid-'80s was saying, this country's addicted to oil, and that addiction is going to take us into the Middle East where we're going to encounter Islamic terrorism, and we won't know how to fight it because we have a military that only knows how to bomb. I mean, like ideas that seem obvious now but were incredibly prescient in the 80s, and he met a woman on a boat named Donna Rice and invited her to his townhouse in D.C. And a group
he was
of
married at the time.
Continues to be married. He's been married for 60 years.
Right.
And three journalists from the Miami Herald followed him to his townhouse. And it resulted in this moment that's just incredibly cinematic. He, in the middle of the night, and three journalists are in the back alleyway of his townhouse, and nobody knows what to do because no one's ever been in this position before. And less than a week later, he left politics forever.
Wow. So, and the basic gist of what's going down is, and it's sort of depicted, and it's even in the trailer, where really this is a thing to you guys,
right?
Where Hart can't. No, this doesn't pertain to politics, but now more than ever. It's the case. In fact, it's everything. It's you know, and so much of it is in the news, and it asks the question, I guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's what the idea of the film is, what do we expect of our leaders? What do we need to know?
Right, and what flaws are we willing to
what
put up
with? What flaws are we willing to put up with?
Leaders? And that's the question that we're kind of all at. Look, I'm like anybody else. I look around today in 2018, and I just go, how the hell did we get here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I heard this story, because I was 10 years old when this happened.
Yeah.
I was much more curious about where the Back to the Future trilogy was going than American politics. But when I heard a piece...
That was important, Jason.
Listen.
Listen
yeah.
over that.
And by the way, it wasn't going up. They were about to get on a train in 1980. But...
a train that could fly.
You know, that's not what every kid dreams of.
Yeah, flying train. Flying mass transit. Yeah.
They gave us the Flying DeLorean. I was like, all right. I'm in. And then steam locomotive, great.
A flying city bus.
I still, every now and again, will think about Back to the Future just in my daily. I'm like, oh, man, there's no way that could have happened.
Do not want to go down this hole.
It has just occupied way too much space in my brain, so I'm with you on that. Get back to the Gary Hart thing.
Because he has definitive opinions, and he may very well about Gary Hart
as well. And I still love the franchise. Yeah. I really do, but I have questions.
We can deep dive another time on Back to the Future. Yes. I have opinions as well.
All right.
When I heard the story, I just thought, oh, here is a thread that leads us to 2018. When we try to imagine, all right, when does this moment start? When does tabloid journalism drive into the lane of political journalism? Here you have the story that is this kind of great pH test that reflects both sides of the audience.
But it's I was reading, and I think this is a great choice, and correct me if I'm wrong. You sort of, the creative team, you and the writers, and you as well as the writer, use the candidate as sort of a model, the movie, the Robert Redford movie, as a basis for the way you proceeded on this.
You guys really don't want listeners. You stopped the conversation about Back to the Future to have a conversation about Michael Ritchie's The Candidate, like a 1970s movie.
Great movie.
By the way, it's a brilliant movie.
It's a masterpiece.
It's one of my favorite movies. Look,
listen. Politics always surfaces in movies if it's done right, because it's compelling. It can be very compelling, and The Candidate is a perfect example.
I have a tattoo from
from
another movie of the same director.
What is it?
It's from Downhill Racers. Poster from Downhill Racers. So
that's awesome.
I'm really nerdy.
Yeah.
That's very cool. So, but is that in fact the case?
It's not cool, but I appreciate that. But anyhow, look, it became this way to kind of understand today, and it's this thriller of a movie that touches on gender politics, that touches on the relationship between journalists and candidates, and that line between where our public life becomes our private life.
Right.
What do we remember incorrectly about this story, Jason? Because when people think back on Gary Hart, I think they have one perception, but the actual reality is different. And I don't want to obviously make this a spoiler alert, but
give away the ending.
No. I mean, this is a historical movie, so we know what happened in theory, but we often get the facts wrong.
Spoiler alert, he does not become president.
Right.
I thought so. Yeah. I didn't want to go out on a limb there, I don't remember 4 years.
Spoiler alert, over 30 years, life becomes horrible.
Yeah. Well, it's like when you watch The Crown, you're like, all right, is she still queen?
What's going to happen?
Oh, yeah. Like, you could look up the storyline in The Crown if you really wanted to.
She marry Churchill?
I mean, here's the thing. So when I would tell people, would ask me, like, hey, what are you doing next? And... hoping I was going to say, a Star Wars movie. Yeah. And I would say, oh, I'm doing the Gary Hart story. And their response would always be the same. First, they would go, monkey business.
Right. Yes.
Which is the name of the boat. And they would say, follow me around. There was this important idea that he had somehow challenged the press to follow him around, which was actually not the case. He had given a quote, but it came out the same day as the Miami Herald piece. So that did not actually happen. And then there's this famous photograph of him with Donna Rice, and the belief was that actually took down his candidacy, when the photo actually came out well after the fact.
And it was sort of an orchestrated photo, was it not? I mean, that's what I've heard after the fact. Now, listen, he was having an extramarital affair. That's his deal. That's his business. Got it. But the Donna Rice on his lap, which became the photo that was supposedly took it down. There are people who have claimed that they were, it was sort of manipulated. I don't know what the story is, but for the whole thing, the old saying is that, flawed people can do great things. And so to your earlier point, what are we willing to accept? And as it's depicted in the movie, you get the sense, at least in from the trailer, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it. Once you go down that rabbit hole, you keep going and going and going and going lower and lower, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you were about to have heart surgery, would you care about your heart surgeon's marriage?
Yeah.
Probably not. But when it comes to a candidate, it's a different thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's a question that we're talking about a lot these days. And so if you – and look, some of these clears are – some of these with some of these candidates today, it's really clear what they've done is really indecent stuff.
Yeah.
But with Gary Hart, it was this kind of – it was right on the line. It's guy – you know, it's a very private guy who had a moment with a very private woman. A woman who to this day, she was offered something like $1 million for a story and turned it down. So we don't know what happened between these two people. So it really becomes the question for us is what is important to us? And you had a guy who actually had great ideas who turned out to be right about a lot of things. And now given 30 years to look back at this kind of thriller of a moment, less than a week, and he goes from the front runner to leaving politics forever. Did we make the decision? All of us, the people on his campaign team, the journalists, the people in his family, Donna Rice, you know, how do we look back on this?
Well, people get killed. You know, you it can be a nanosecond on camera. I mean, you know, Howard Dean's famous yell, which was a turning
right.
These little things. Yeah, mm-hmm. that can turn these entire wherever you stand on Dean or a lot of these people. I think I can step back and look at a candidate I might not agree with, but who'll be unfairly, you know, excoriated for a reason that's just not fair. That's not germane to the reason that they're at the dance, so to speak. Well, and that's just unfair, you know?
Well, we're like, we're a storytelling species,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We remember things as stories. We remember things as jokes. And that's certainly the case with Howard Dean. Interestingly, I wrote the movie with two people. One of them was actually Howard Dean's press secretary, Hillary Clinton's press secretary.
There you go.
The other guy was a New York Times Magazine writer who covered five presidencies. So that's kind of the nature of the movie. It was written by people who have lived this thing.
So the pacing, I was reading that the pacing and the if you've ever watched any political documentaries or even the candidate, which is not a documentary, but there's a world that they operate in where there's always this maelstrom of stuff going on. And you sought to recreate that with loads of activity and sub conversations and things going on in the background. What else did you study, or what did? I mean, you obviously had somebody who was well within the realm of that world to advise you. But was there any other influences that you took as well?
I mean, so there's a lot of great political movies. I mean, All the President's Men. You got to watch that. The War Room, the great documentary about the Clinton presidency. We watched that. We wanted a movie that just felt like there was three conversations happening at the same time, three things visually happening at the same time, where the audience is constantly looking at the screen, trying to decide for themselves what is important. Because philosophically, that's kind of the question.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what's important versus what's just entertaining? And that's what we're also doing cinematically, is just you're getting so much information at the same time.
Let's talk about the cast for a second. I see a few names of people that you've worked with before in different projects, J.K. Simmons and Whiplash. And
he's in town.
Is he really?
Yeah, I just saw him last night.
Oh, he's great.
Oh, man, I love him.
He's phenomenal.
Oh, he's the best.
Can you call him and tell him to come here right now?
One second. No, so I visited on set, and he's wearing like a police uniform because I guess he's playing a captain in this movie that he's shooting here in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And I asked him, I said, have you played every rank in the police at this point?
It was a Patriots day. He's a sergeant.
He starts going by. He's like, well, let's see. I've been the chief of police, and I've been the captain, and the sergeant.
He's a commissioner at one point.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah. And the only thing he hasn't played is like a guy on the beat.
He's a little too old at this point.
Well, he was on Broadway at that point.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
Do you know
there
was a moment where J.K. Simmons was simultaneously playing the head of the Aryan Nation on Oz, but also in Guys and Dolls on Broadway?
No.
So during the day, he'd go to set, they'd paint on a swastika, he'd bend over some poor guy in the in prison, and then at night he'd go up and sing Luck Be a Lady Tonight.
Did you know that in the book, the actual original book for Guys and Dolls, he was supposed to be head of the Aryan Nation? So
that makes sense.
It makes,
I also see Vera Farmiga as well. Is that, I always see
Farmiga?
Farmiga.
There's no N.
There's no N.
People had an N, and I don't know why. It makes it sound like pasta or something. But Vera Farmiga,
in pesto sauce is great.
She was in Up in the Air. She's phenomenal as well.
It's interesting, right? Because she plays, now between Up in the Air and this film, she's kind of played both sides of an affair.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
But Hugh Jackman, have you worked with him before?
First time.
Is he not the greatest person in the world?
The greatest person
I mean,
on earth.
He's just that we've had him on the show. Couldn't be a nicer guy. Insanely talented gentleman.
Here, I'll bring up this story because, okay. You know, obviously lottery stories are in the air. Mm-hmm. He decided at one point that he wanted to know the cast and crew better. He felt like there's all kinds of people on the crew right. that he just doesn't get a chance to talk to, doesn't get a chance to shake their hand. And he tried to come up with a way. I was like, how can I find a way to actually, like, meet every person on the crew every week? And so every Friday, he started just driving to, like, a grocery store or a liquor store on the way to set. He'd buy 200 scratcher tickets. Then over the course of the day, he would just one by one hand them out to every crew member and say, hey, good luck this week. Good luck this week. You know, good to see you.
That dude.
Stop it.
Stop it already.
And
love so him.
He's the best. And when they would go, what is this? He'd be like, oh, it's an Australian tradition, which is not true.
He though I mean, you know, the guy has like Logan. This is an incredible performance. He's you know, jacked beyond belief. But a lot of times people have that eclipses the fact that he's a really excellent actor.
Yeah, he works harder also than any actor.
Does he?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, there's a moment, there's a real moment where Gary Hart was on the campaign trail and he went to an axe throwing contest, which is a thing.
Yeah. Yes.
He's now like.
Yeah.
There's it's a real trendy thing.
There's now these places where you can like get drunk and throw axes.
Oh,
like
yeah.
It's Color Me Mine or something.
Yeah. Right here, yeah.
So Gary Hart went on the campaign trail, threw an axe and hit a bullseye. So, and at first in my mind, I'm thinking, like, is this going to be CG or we're going to have to like put it on a wire? And of course, at this point, Hugh Jackman was already in axe throwing training.
Right.
And we all had bets. It's like, all right, so when's he going to hit the bullseye? And of course, take one, hits the bullseye, but then we had to do 8 more takes just because the actors couldn't get their crap done.
Right. Mm-hmm. How many times did he hit it?
No, he hit it on the bullseye in the first one.
Oh.
And then we had to go 8 more takes just for the actors so they can get their performances right.
Can I ask you, because you've been in this industry for a little while, and for us as spectators, the Oscars is like the big thing, and obviously the Golden Globes and all that, but... Yeah. I don't know how much weight that carries with you.
It's all I think about every day and every
but,
day.
I will win.
But I'm asking about Hugh Jackman because I just wanted him to be nominated for Logan. Mm-hmm. Just a nomination.
I could not agree with you more. That Logan performance is unbelievable.
Right?
Can you think of another actor who's taken a character over 9 movies and taken them through an arc like that where the ending is so emotional where you're not at the 9th movie going, please stop playing this role.
Yeah.
Like these are 9 movies, you're like, I just don't want to see you put on that costume.
And it kept getting better and better. And I remember when he was first announced as Logan, as Wolverine, you know, he's not physically the type. And then he completely made it his own. But by that movie is so solid. And he's, you know, and then he's a showman as well.
You know the story about him getting the role of Wolverine, right?
No.
Oh, like so they had cast another guy. And he's in Australia in like Oklahoma or something doing like the musical. And he gets the call, like, get to Canada. You're now Wolverine. The other guy got injured.
What?
And he's now traveling. And he doesn't know anything about the role. And he literally started just researching the animal, the Wolverine, because he really knew nothing about the character. And now he's like, he was kind of slight at the time. And he just started trying to get jacked. And they saved that amazing character reveal. The first time you meet him in the first movie. And it was in that cage fight. And he's like shirtless. And he looks like, you know. They saved it for like the last day because he's just lifting the entire shoot, just trying to
get it. So it was reversed so he could get into shape for those scenes. Wow. Well, it took whatever the hell he was doing, and he hasn't lost it, obviously.
But in this movie, in The Front Runner, he's literally different from anything you've ever seen him before.
Gary Hart himself had sort of they said it could have worked against him. There was sort of an impenetrability about him a little bit. Like there was, I remember seeing him and he seems sincere, and I was much younger, obviously, when this was happening, but there was a little bit of a you-weren't-getting-through vibe to him. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you mean. And look, here's a guy who, on stage, you know, talking to a crowd, incredibly charismatic, moving. People really did talk about him as though he was the next Kennedy. And at the end of the day, though, he really thought, my personal life is off limits. I really want to be just about my ideas. And one could say that that's less modern. But I say, to a certain extent, that shows you have character.
I want to ask you about Gary Hart versus the current governor of Colorado is a guy named John Hickenlooper. He's actually from here. And there are rumors that he may run for president. And he's sort of a moderate Democrat that is very likable. And there's this part of me that, and I'm a fan, I like the guy, that doesn't want him to run because the national politics is so divisive and awful and just chews people out and spits them out. Or choose people up and spits them out. I wonder if Gary Hart, looking back on it, regrets running for president. Did you get to talk to him about it at all? Because it in some ways, ruined his life.
I did get to talk to him. And, you know, I met Donna Rice and I met kind of everyone involved in the story. And they've actually all seen the film, too, which was really weird. I cannot tell you how crazy it is to make a movie about someone's life. If I told you, I'm going to make a movie about your life, I'm going to pick the worst week.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I like show up in your hometown with the movie's like, all right, let's watch the movie.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
Start the movie and I just sit outside the movie theater while you and your wife just sit inside quietly watching your life. I mean,
this is great. Good times.
Scariest screening of my life.
God.
But no, we did talk about that a little bit. And look, I think Gary Hart regrets all the things that he wishes he could have kind of given to this country. I mean, anyone who wants to run for a president. But he wasn't willing to enter what politics is today. You know, he wasn't going to talk about his personal life. And unlike almost everybody today who is willing to lie about anything and say anything and flip-flop on any issue and say, oh, no, I didn't say that 2 weeks ago. He's a guy who said, no, this is how I'm going to do it. And by the way, he isn't like also every other candidate who goes through a scandal and 2 years later, you know, has some show on MSNBC and is like slowly earning their way back. He was a man of his word. So if we're going to talk about character, then you also the other side of the, you know, how does the affair demonstrate his character? You have to look at, well, he is a man of his word.
It's funny because it's a story that runs completely. You take the Anthony Weiner story and the great documentary about that whole thing.
That is the hardest thing I've ever watched in my life. That is worse than any horror film I've ever seen.
Talking
about the documentary?
The documentary.
I couldn't watch him eat. Oh, my God. I wanted to reach through the screen every single time he puts some
The scandal breaks and he's and then he's running, you know, and it's just absolutely he's running for mayor and it's a disaster. And it's but here's the end. The guy said, I'm out. He just tapped out. So in a way, I think maybe those days are behind us because everyone just says, I'm just going to F it. You know, the precedent has been set. I have a shot.
Well, then that's the question is, what kind of people don't run because of this?
That's a great question.
So.
Who is incredibly capable, but to Nick's point, but afraid of having those every single thing pulled out of your past and dragged out into the sun. And
we've all made mistakes. I mean, we're all flawed.
Oh, well, that's the thing. We're all human beings.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to elect someone who's made mistakes. And the question is, what mistakes do we want them to have made?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the funniest part is watching the moral finger pointed. And you look at the person who's pointing the finger.
Oh, my God. Preston, you're so right. Because the old saying is you're pointing and there are three fingers pointing back at you. Mm-hmm. You know, so But this is interesting as a flashpoint and the way you've talked about framing this, I think it's fascinating. I definitely want to see it. It looks really compelling.
It's Jason Reitman who is in our studio. The Front Runner is the film that he directed. It's coming out in theaters November 21st. There was a screening last night for the Philadelphia Film Festival. Before we got on this conversation, we were talking off air. We're headed to London tomorrow. Mm. What should we do while we're in London? You said it's a great town.
Oh, London's amazing. All right. You got to go to a place called Sketch. Sketch is it's this crazy play.
It's not
forgive
a bottle,
me for
is
a
it?
Moment. Forgive okay. me for yeah. No, it's for high tea. Just stay with me.
I love high tea.
but it is this. It's just production design is insane. It's like all pink, and the furniture's crazy, and the bathroom is these crazy 2001 like Stanley Kubrick egg pods, and it's.
We're looking at it. It looks cool.
Look at the photos.
All right.
It's wild. I highly recommend that. And are any of you guys Harry Potter fans?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, Nick is massive fan.
Okay.
We're all
so
fans.
They took the two stages where they shot the film at Leavesden in London, and they've turned it into this Harry Potter experience. And look, I'm a cynical guy, right? Like, I made Thank You for Smoking. That's who I am. But I filled with positive glee walking through the Harry Potter experience.
Really? There.
They have everything. They've like broken it down to like every wand that was built, every set that was built, how they did the characters. You have Butterbeer. It's sincerely magical.
Is it one of those things you got to get tickets way in advance for, do you think? Or
all right, I'm going to be a tool right now.
Pulled strings.
I just called someone at Warner Brothers. But, become a famous filmmaker, then call your connection at Warner Brothers.
Wasn't we're close friends with Jason Reitman?
My rule is always first be born the son of a famous director.
Okay.
And then everything will just line up perfectly.
What if you're a producer on a radio show in Philadelphia and you have a guest who's been to this thing? Can you ask that person to ask somebody for something?
Live on the air, of course you can ask.
All right.
Well, it looks like this sketch place is a half a mile from our hotel.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Perfect.
Right. But you're gonna walk around and get drunk there. I mean, that's the fun of that place. And it's just you're just in the West End, and everything is cool, and the people are wild. It's just fun.
President and I are going to go see The Play That Goes Wrong. I don't know if you've heard anything about that at all.
No.
No? Okay. Well, then next question.
Last time we had you here, Jason, we all sort of collectively asked you what you've seen recently that you liked and you enjoyed, and you recommended Wild Wild Country for us, which I guess
did you watch?
I did.
Yes.
Yeah, we all did. And
wow.
Your
how amazing is that documentary?
It's incredible. Yeah.
The Duplass brothers.
Yeah, they have Emmys now.
They're amazing, and it's about this cult that I didn't know anything about until you recommended it. And it's funny because you're talking about Front Runner, which is a historical story that many people do know about. I had no idea that this story had happened right here in the United States, and you just get sucked into this story. It was fascinating.
No, it's like watching a Scorsese movie or like a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. You get completely sucked in. I listened to the soundtrack on loop.
Oh, really? That's funny.
Wild Wild Country is six hours. I watched it and then started over and watched the 6 hours again in the same week.
The funny part is like the first couple episodes, you're like, this cult has some interest. And then as it really starts to go south, you're like, holy crap.
And how hard is it to not, like, as you're watching it, read up on it as you're watching it? Do you know what I mean? Like,
at that point, I want to go in a cocoon. I don't want to know anything I want to do. Well, because with every episode of Wild Wild Country, you're going, wait, come on. Like, you just can't believe that it just keeps unfolding the way it does. It's like, they have guns now? What?
Yeah. That doesn't seem in line with their message.
What do you recommend now, then?
All right. It's the end of the year. I'm going to go really artsy-fartsy on you. All right. Alfonso Cuarón, the guy who directed Gravity, Y Tu Mamá También.
Yes.
He has a new movie called Roma. It is black. It's in black and white.
Doesn't matter.
It's in Spanish. It is extraordinary. It's the best movie of the year.
Really?
You have to see it in a movie theater with Atmos sound. He shot it in digital 65. It is unlike any movie you've ever seen.
Yeah. What genre? What is it? Was it? Is it a delightful rom-com?
No,
a spring break?
It's a drama about his childhood. I know that sounds boring. It is amazing.
All right.
I think it's a story that chronicles a year in the life of a middle-class family in Mexico City in the early 1970s.
You don't sound at all like you're reading something.
No. So what else?
No, that's amazing. This is going to be horrible. There's Polish film called Cold War. It's also in black and white. It is also amazing. God, I got to have something fun for you guys.
Are these recommended to you, or do you stumble across these?
No,
things?
I saw these at film festivals, and they are actually amazing.
I would like to purchase a potato, please.
No, but these are actually, this is an amazing year for international film. All right, I'll give you a crazy one. There's a movie called Dog Man coming out of Italy. It's from the same director as a film called Gomorra, which was this insane, like violent mob movie.
That I remember. I did not get to see it, but it got great reviews.
See Gomorra, and if you dig it, Dog Man.
I'm looking at the poster.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It is violent and wild and unlike anything I've ever seen.
All right. And one horror movie for Halloween.
Oh, go see Halloween. David Gordon Green directed a Halloween movie.
Yeah, there
you
gotta
go see it.
All right, excellent.
Yeah.
And then also, last question is, I see that you have six projects that you're attached to right now that are in development. Which one is the one that is
actually happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure if any of those are real at this point. But it is kind of funny because these things stay with you. If something gets announced 10 years ago, it remains and you answer questions. Like, hey, what's happening with Bonsai Shadowhand, your Rainn Wilson ninja movie? And it's like, I wish it was still happening right now.
It's in development.
Well, you'll be whatever it is. And once it's completed, you'll come back to promote it. And we'll gleefully have you back on.
Oh, yep. You guys are the best. Thanks for having me in here.
You bet. Don't forget, gang, that Front Runner is in theaters on November 21st. Thank you so much, Jason Reitman, guys.
Yay!
Take care, my man. We'll take a break and be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We got a secret text word today, and it is your chance to win some tickets to see Disturbed. We're presenting this show at the Wells Fargo Center, and that's February 18th, and 3 Days Grace is going to be opening up the show. There is a pre-sale, and it's taking place now. It's going on through Thursday at 10 p.m. while the supplies last, so you can get the complete details at WMMR.com, but text the word secret to 39333, and we'll see if you can, win in a little while. We also have... on our hottie cam this morning, Cece, Cassandra, and Mia.
Yeah.
They're from Delilah's. And they have their trick-or-treat Delilah's 27th anniversary party tonight. It starts at 7 o'clock, and there is select open bar and complimentary hors d'oeuvres. And the ladies have gone and done a costume change. And now are in a, I guess you would call that tiger-striped or, no, zebra-striped? Now, leopards are spots, right?
What is that? That's more...
that's more like sexy...
koala?
Golden zebra.
Yeah, golden zebra. Let's call it that.
Sexy golden zebras. The classic.
You can take a look at these ladies on our hottie cam. And an honorable mention to outfit by former intern Mars, who was here this morning.
She made that.
She brought in some Halloween treats for us. And yeah, she made her outfit. That's
wild. How is that bat hanging on?
What's that?
How's that bat hanging on her outfit?
Where's she hanging on?
By a prayer.
Oh, wow. In her midsection there. Yeah. I don't know.
Midsection? I think it's her nipples.
Is it hanging from your nipples? Yeah. You don't work here anymore, so we can say these things like
there
that.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. Have her on the mic or no?
It's phenomenal. No.
I would love to recreate that picture. See what the bat looks like on mine.
All right.
Yeah, I would love to do that as well.
Let's do that.
You guys
listen, I have it hooked on my nipples.
Are you kidding?
I'm so bad. I have bat boobs.
Bat would be hanging on for dear life.
So I know that we had a bit of a heartbreak last night with the loss, unless you know somebody in South Carolina. Kathy does have one relative in South Carolina, so maybe she's a part of the $1.6 billion.
Yeah, I'm not even sure she'd share it with me, though. It's like one of those relatives.
But somebody apparently...
Mama June Romano.
...won that, but we still have another one tonight as the Powerball is over $600 and some odd million. But I saw an interesting set of statistics in case you're playing like I am as well and are hanging on to these dreams for just for fun anyway. I have a couple of things that are more likely to happen to you.
Than winning this $650 million.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
So
let her rip.
You're more likely to get murdered at the Grand Canyon than you are.
Why don't people buy tickets for that?
You have a one... in 8,156,000,000. No, that's not right.
No, okay.
No, it says the Mega Millions jackpot, 1 in 302 million. The odds of winning Wednesday's Powerball jackpot are 1 in 292 million. But this says it's 35 times more likely. Here we go.
Oh, there we go. That's the ratio. Okay.
Than winning the jackpot. So you are more likely to get murdered at the Grand Canyon. There's a 1 in 8 million chance that you'll get
murdered. Those are pretty good odds.
At the Grand Canyon. How about this? You are far more likely to have extra fingers or toes than you are winning.
Polydactyl.
Yes, exactly.
Do you know anybody?
No. Do you guys?
No, but, you know, in the world of a polydactyl, like cats, yes. The Ernest Hemingway's cats were all bred. They're all polydactyl if you go to the Hemingway house.
There was a former pitcher for the Phils. His name was, I think, Antonio Alfonseca, and he had an extra pinky.
Yep.
And
on his forehead.
No. On one of his hands, maybe both of his hands, but it was really odd looking, and occasionally you'd get a glimpse of it on camera. And he was you're looking at him throwing the ball.
That must have helped with control. Was it fully formed or was it just a nub?
No, it was a nub, but it was a movable nub.
But I wonder if there was bone in it or if it was just you know, like cartilage. And
there was a nipple on his hand.
There was a bone that grew out.
Suckle at my finger.
On the side of his hand, there was an extra bone.
There was a bone. Okay.
That was the sixth finger. Yeah.
Wow. I wonder if anybody listening has an extra is polydactyl, because it ranges from 1 in 500 to 1 in 1,000. And that's actually 292,000 times greater than hitting either jackpot.
You know, they say extra fingers, the belief used to be that would increase, would by evolution increase your intellect and your ability to, because you have more control to manipulate things.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So, yes. Okay. So, like an opposable thumb assists with us, and it's made all the simians so envious.
Okay. You are also, rather than win the lottery, you are more likely to accidentally suffocate in your own bed.
To suffocate in your own bed. Now, yes. I sleep with one of those dry cleaner bags over my head,
okay.
So I assume my odds are pretty good.
Yeah, your odds might be better than 1 in 4,500, because that's how many, that's the odds of dying from an accidental suffocation or strangulation in bed.
Do you ever have a dream where you're suffocating?
Suffocating. I probably have. I lately have been having some nightmares, but I get them. I told you guys, I get them only during the day when taking a nap, and they're pretty consistent. And lately, they've been some of the most terrifying ones I've ever had.
That's when Michelle comes into the room. You're suffocating.
No, mine lately have been involving rodents.
Really?
Yeah, which is really strange, because usually it involves water, but lately it's been rodents. So
you're being attacked?
Well, I had one the other day. Which really scared me. So it was just a normal scenario. I'm like in a yard hanging out with people. It was like, you know, maybe at a barbecue or something like that. And I reached over and I don't know, I guess I had, and listen, none of this makes sense.
No, but it's the way your mind generates things. It is a fascinating process.
So I had a stick in my hand just from a branch from a tree or whatever. And I went and I tapped it on the ground, and all of a sudden these mice appeared, like lots of them. They were black, hairy mice, and like, you know, like 20 of them, and they just started running. I was like, wow. And I put my hand down on a table that was next to me, and underneath the table all these mice started running out.
Oh no.
And then I turned another direction, and
holy
the same
hell.
thing, and then the next thing you know, it's like biblical proportions of
like
mice
a plague
all over the place. And then after that, a swarm of grasshoppers came in.
Oh boy! You were having gross. Biblical plagues.
It was apocalyptic.
Did you look it up? Did you,
I didn't.
Any ideas?
Is actually, what that we can ask Mars about that, because she does a. You can come over here if you want to. She does a podcast about
examines sleep and
nightmares.
Yeah, nightmares. Yeah,
and you have what is it called again?
It's called Control Quit Dreaming, or it's a CTRLQ dreaming.
Okay. Yeah. And then, but don't you have like night terrors or something like that?
Yeah, I get like night terrors, nightmares, sleep paralysis,
sleep paralysis,
the whole works of it. And
wow,
how many sleep studies have you had?
What do you mean? Like,
I mean, that actually, just... like God, I assume you've had sleep studies, right? To examine, not one,
no,
huh?
I haven't done it yet.
You enjoy them? I guess?
No, I don't enjoy them. I mean, they give me content to write about,
okay,
which is really cool. So I guess I kind of like it because it gives me something to think about. But I haven't gone into any studies, and I feel like I probably should.
I think it'd be interesting just to see also get like what's going on in your brain while this stuff is happening.
What was the phenomenon that we were talking about that my son did the project on?
Oh, it was exploding head syndrome.
That's right.
Yeah.
And explain what that is.
So basically what happens is it's sort of like when you have a dream, you're walking up the steps and you kick your leg and it wakes you up. It's like that, but with sound.
Yeah.
So your head like will replay something from you heard during the day, or like a loud explosion. And it's happening right before you fall asleep or right before you wake up. So it's at that point where your brain is about to fall asleep, and then a loud noise will play and it'll wake you up. And
I have it.
It feels like it's happening right next to you. And
Do you get startled? So it would be akin to literally an explosion occurring next to you, and you shake. You react to it.
I've had more of like words and dialogues from earlier in the day replay as if someone's whispering them in my ear, which is a little bit more horrifying.
Yeah.
But the explosions, I mean, anything, because you don't expect it. And it feels like it's happening right then and there.
That is it. So if you were to take a crack at, I mean, not that you're a dream therapist or analyst.
She's read up on it.
Yes,
enough,
but you're more learned than are we. So what would you say that his dreams of these biblical infestations indicate?
I don't know. I mean, I know you talked about before that you continually had dreams with water. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably just like a prolonged stressor that you haven't identified yet.
But maybe you've overcome that and then something else is getting to you. I mean, that sounds like you're dealing with a lot.
Then the second day, the next day after, I had another dream that involved, and this was different, instead of like herds and herds or, you know, thousands of rats, there was one of them that was biting my hand.
Can I ask you?
Physical pain.
When did you close your pool?
Today.
Close your pool today.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm closing my pool today. Why?
I'm just wondering. There's a tie-in. The water dreams.
Nah, the water thing's been going on for years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's been, and it wasn't always scary. I would just have a dream, and somewhere water played a significant role, whether it be a pool or a river or getting, you know, a shower or something like that. There's always water in the dream. And I don't know
interesting.
Why. Who knows? But lately I've been having, these nightmares that were pretty much on the terrifying side. Hold on a second. All right. This is from a website, so you know it's legitimate.
Yes.
It says, water-related dreams can mean you feel overwhelmed or unsupported by your loved ones. Well, that's not true. No, that's not
or
true.
Or is it?
Or is it?
Or are you not being supported by your rats?
Maybe it all ties
in. Hey, look up to see what big cat's dreams means, because every now and again I'll have a dream about lions or tigers that are...
Oh, my.
And I'm not out in the wild. They're in the house or places where they shouldn't be.
Right. I wonder if it's from that account that you follow on Instagram about...
No, because they were happening before that guy. What is that? Black tiger? Black... Panther, white tiger. I
have no idea. Yeah. He lives with it's in Mexico, I think, and he has all of these wild cats in a sanctuary, and he plays with them as if they were kitties.
Yes.
Here we go. Some say that cats in dreams are a symbol for your intuition, and that the health of the cat indicates whether you are heeding or ignoring your intuition. A dream feline may be a symbol of someone in your life who is catty or malicious.
Ooh.
Being scratched by a cat in a dream suggests that you feel threatened. So are you being attacked?
Not necessarily. But
you are being scared. It scares you.
I'm being stalked, but not attacked.
Who's stalking you?
Either the lion or the...
Gary. Gary.
Gary.
But anyhow.
Interesting.
But you said suffocate in bed, and I'm fairly certain that that is probably how I'm going to die. I'm going to die in my sleep.
In bed.
I'm going to die in my sleep because I often hold my breath or I will choke on my saliva and I wake up that way. So
we have apnea, right?
Yeah.
That's got to be that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I can't sleep on
Mars, wait. Come back over here. What's up?
Because I can't sleep on my back. Because when I do that, I end up aspirating.
Okay. Real quick, before you do step away from the microphone, do you still do your dream blog? Or, I mean, your podcast?
I do. I had to get a new computer and a new microphone because everything broke. But I am still updating it.
How do people find it?
It's on Twitter. It's CTRL_Q_dreaming.
Okay.
And it's also on SoundCloud under the same thing, but... can find it, and I just kind of talk about other people's dreams too. I just did somebody else's dream that they told me their grandmother passed away, and they literally had dreams of her visiting them for weeks until they told her that she needed to move on.
Knock it off!
Give out your Instagram account as well, because people always ask.
My Instagram is it's at DEEMARRS.
May not be safe for work.
Yeah, it's not safe for work.
Just to let you know.
If you see it, you'll know why she has nightmares.
Yeah. All right, cool. Thank you, Mars. Appreciate it. But yes, you're more likely to accidentally suffocate in bed. That's where we were about.
All right.
Then win the lottery. Because your chance of everything that happened is like 1 in 4,500 or something like that.
Any more on the list?
Yeah, you are more likely to, rather than win the lottery, more likely to have quintuplets naturally.
Wow. Naturally. More likely to have quintuplets naturally.
Yeah. Your odds of naturally having 5 kids instead of 1 is 1 in 55 million, and that's 5 times more likely than hitting the jackpot.
I also heard that you're more likely to have conjoined twins.
Oh, that, yeah.
Than winning the lottery.
I would imagine.
What are the odds of having conjoined quintuplets?
Oh. Well, there's 5 of them. Would one be a set of 3?
Yeah.
Or no, 10 kids all together.
Daisy chain.
Yeah, that would be it. All right. And then the last one on this particular stat, just to give you some perspective on your chance at winning, because there's still
a lottery.
Make
you feel good about your shot.
Up for grabs tonight. You're more likely to get killed by fireworks than you are by pyrotechnics. You have a 1 in 340,000 chance of getting killed by fireworks.
That, you know, it's funny because those are still extreme odds. But as you start to move out of the million range, you're like, oh, man.
Yeah, right?
I better stay away from fireworks.
Right, exactly. So hang on, though. We got another drawing tonight. We'll see. The $1.6 billion is apparently gone from the Mega Millions. But
what do you think of the odds are that every one of these scenarios you mentioned will occur along with the drawing?
At some point today?
Hey, yeah. Hey. When I discovered that I didn't win, my first thought was, man, I hope the lady that I let in front of me in line didn't win. Do you know what I mean? Because she got a quick pick as well, you know? Ah. So she would have had my quick pick numbers, but I let her go.
Well, yeah. That doesn't appear to be the case, right?
No, thank God.
Yeah, could go either way.
Last thing you want is for other people to have stuff.
There have been
just that one person.
There have been people who have found out that they've let the winning person go ahead,
yes,
or vice versa,
yes,
and tried, right, to bring up some sort of a lawsuit because of that reason.
Listen, you know, it's your shot. Makes it's your connection. Crazy. A lot of people feel like, oh, my God, I've got to do this.
Yeah. Listen, there was another thing or two that I saw this morning in, you know, Mars in her witch outfit and the Ladies of Delilah's in their outfits. We've obviously got, you know, Halloween on the brain.
Of course.
And I saw this story about Hollywood villains and their evil laughs.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now, there's a psychologist. It is Jens Christensen. With Denmark's Aarhus University, has analyzed the menacing laughs from Hollywood villains and says that the trait confirms a villain's malevolence. Speaking specifically, a cackle reveals an open and candid enjoyment from other people's suffering. And he adds that the laugh of the bad guy is often heard hard to imitate convincingly, which just makes it that much better a marker of a person who takes glee in hurting others.
Do you know, as a good malevolent laugh, Gary Oldman in Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's, yeah,
it's where he has his face is all white.
And he's wearing the cake on his head.
Yeah, on his head.
Tell me, do you like the cake I'm wearing on my head? It's devil's food.
it's a full-throated, actually, a Vincent Price's laugh in the song Thriller.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm trying to think of what other characters have a...
Kathy's laugh.
A nice, evil...
Well, the Joker is a pretty classic one.
...tone to them. Yeah, and you know what? That's true. I was... Heath Ledger, in the beginning, kind of makes fun of it. Yeah, he comes in going, ha, 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 ho, ho, ho,
yeah,
he. But there is, later on, when he really is laughing, he does kind of a wheeze laugh.
Or Jack Nicholson, as the Joker as well, is a full-throated, mm-hmm, you know, in the art museum.
There's one that's made fun of, and listen, I didn't watch Twilight. But that was
the vampires that glisten in the sun.
Right.
The romantic.
The actor, he's a great actor, and I will not remember his name, but he played like the king vampire in the movie.
Oh, yes. Frost Nixon.
Yeah, and the Queen.
He's excellent.
Yeah, he plays the Prime Minister and the Queen.
Yeah.
What the hell is his name?
But his laugh is...
Right. Yes.
And he's made fun of for that. But I read that the reason that he went with that laugh is that his character has been around for so long that very little actually
amuses him,
entertains him.
Right, right.
And he really doesn't know how to laugh.
The last time, and they make reference to it in the movie, was on the Redneck Comedy Tour, Jeff Foxworthy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was his last big laugh. Yeah.
Okay.
Is Michael Sheen?
You know who makes... That's it.
Okay, yeah.
Sheen. You know who makes me laugh? The cable guy. He's so funny. He has no sleeves. I've lived forever, and I've never laughed harder learning how you know you're a redneck.
Hang on a second here. Marissa pulled over. I think she pulled some laughs. Oh, yeah, this is the Twilight laugh. Here we go. This is it.
That's it.
And that's supposed to be menacing.
Yeah, and they cut, you got to be kidding.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That last movie, well, listen, they're all crap, but that last movie where they have an extended battle that you find out is basically a what if.
Oh,
like,
really?
It happens. Like, it didn't really happen. What?
I didn't see the latest It movie because they scare me. Does, how's Pennywise's laugh in
excellent.
That? Is it? Okay. That's what I pictured in my head.
He does. There is a great part where he's basically cutting a deal with the kids.
Yeah.
And he'll allow them to go. And he goes, and you'll all live happy lives. It's really freaky.
Okay.
Really, really.
He did a great job.
He did.
And the fact that he was able to sort of purse his lips the way that he did, mm-hmm. very cool.
Here's another good one. Listen to this one.
There are sparkles that come out of my ass.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's terrifying. Jeez. Have you heard of the ass sparkler?
There are sparkles that come out of my ass.
Oh, my God.
All right, here's the Gary Oldman laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Steve, that you were talking about. I didn't know he did.
That's nice. A great scene. If you've never seen Bram Stoker's Dracula, directed by Francis Ford Coppola, he uses a lot of old style in camera techniques. Pay attention to what's happening on screen,
yeah,
because Dracula's shadow will leave and do other things.
Mm-hmm.
As he's doing taxes, he's doing jazzercise.
Here's Jack's Joker laugh,
all right,
if you will. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's definitely a good one. Nick, could you pull up and see if there's a list of greatest evil laughs?
Yeah.
Some
people are texting in the Mark Hamill version of the Joker is really good as well.
He's sensational.
Yeah, he goes
Mask
really
of the old. Phantasm and the stuff that he did.
Yeah,
excellent.
Did he do the Killing Joke as well? I think he was the voice.
I think he might. Yeah, he did a lot of the great ones.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Freddy Krueger's on the Goldbergs tonight.
Oh, it's tonight? Yes.
Yes.
Awesome.
Willem nice. Dafoe in the first Spider-Man.
Yes.
As Green Goblin.
Yes.
He's really good.
Good. Willem Dafoe is one weird-looking bastard.
Yes. Yeah, but I think his face is great for that movie. He's
really
expressive, and it really lends itself to the Goblin.
I wish you guys would have known me in college. There was a guy that I was friends with in college, and I just thinking back on this, like if you didn't know me and you just came into a party and you saw me and this guy in the corner of we would just fake laugh at each other.
Yeah.
And you could have like the craziest wackies like and we would do this. Like every other weekend, you would just see me and this guy, John.
You didn't want to do it every weekend?
No, we just.
I was just curious about the spacing.
What are Casey and John doing? Are you ready to do
this? Steve, they're having. All right, let's do this.
No, that's not good. That's not good.
Not this weekend. No.
Those are finals. I got you in for Crazy Laugh Weekend on the 7th.
Crazy Laugh Weekend.
7th.
That's a 3-day weekend.
Yeah, it's my cousin's confirmation.
Yeah,
I can't make it. What's this guy's name?
John.
Gary Hart.
John, what? Is he still around?
He's still around. Dwyer. We worked with his sister, Patty.
John Dwyer, call in now.
Oh, Patty Dwyer. Yeah.
John, I'd like to hear your evil laugh. Or not your evil laugh, just outrageous laugh.
Oh, my God.
215-263-WMMR.
Laughing Club. But he does listen all the time.
So what's, give us a laugh.
Well, I already did, but we would just be staring at each other.
How long would this go on?
Good 5 minutes.
Until they hyperventilated.
All right. Some other laughs. This says the Predator in Predator, which at the end is...
Yes, when he set the bomb, right? And... you have a stupid laugh.
Well, you know, he's impersonating the...
The laugh of the Indian.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. So, yeah, he...
The tracker.
After
Billy.
He tells him the joke, it must have been the echo, and then he laughs really loud, and the Predator, I guess, hears that, and he kind of sets that in his memory banks and uses it later on.
And then the Predator starts doing Arnold impressions.
Right.
Wow, they look very stupid. Stop that! No, you stop it. You do the head. You do the head.
This says Agent Smith in The Matrix Revolutions. Is that the last one?
Yeah.
I've since forgotten that entire movie.
The first one is phenomenal. The second one has its moments, though there's a lot of dumbness to it, especially that extended rave scene.
Yeah, I'm just curious about the last.
And then the third one is again, not good.
Palpatine's laugh.
Yes. Now there's a sinister laugh.
I don't know. I found that cartoonish.
I did too.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Brother Ovaltine has a better laugh.
Yes. Well, he's jolly.
Yes.
The dessert.
My brother is Ovaltine. And no matter how much you stir him up in milk, he doesn't dissolve.
I hated the way he spoke the whole thing.
And no one could tell, right? He's, I just think, I don't know. You know, you sound like that Palpatine guy. What makes you see that?
Yeah.
No way. We're completely different.
All right, so a few of these we've already covered, like the Joker, Mark Hamill, Thriller, Vincent Price. Hold on. Do I have to go to another page here?
Yeah, I got lost at some point after Thriller.
Yeah, I don't know where to.
That's a great laugh. And that's, I think he's.
Let me see if I can.
What they asked Vincent Price to do to get that laugh is imagine Michael Jackson in a heterosexual relationship.
Dude. I read on Twitter yesterday, Steve, an Uber fact that said Michael Jackson would drink alcohol while on flights.
Really?
But he would put the alcohol in Diet Coke cans.
Jesus,
so he would empty out a Diet, or have one of his handlers empty out a Diet Coke can, put the alcohol in it, so that the kids that would see him would not think that he was drinking booze.
Yeah, you don't want to set a bad example,
right?
Yeah. All right.
Yes, and I do you have a larger overhead compartment for my monkey? And this at certain altitudes, my nose expands and will fall
off.
But I don't want to scare the kids. Right. Can we put this booze in a Coke can?
Yeah.
And I'm completely pasty white, and all my facial features are tattooed on or hammered on. But do me a favor and put this in a Coke can. I don't want the kids to get the wrong impression about me, my monkey, and my nine boys that I travel with.
Here's some other texts coming in. Voldemort in the final Harry Potter
film. That's a great one.
That is a good one. Evil laugh, the Wizard of Oz.
The Witch.
Yeah. There was one, Steve, at the, you remember the original Fright Night?
Yes.
Sarandon.
Yes.
I forgot his first name. Susan's brother.
Chris? Yes, Chris Sarandon.
Chris Sarandon.
He's really good.
And there, what's his face? Anthony.
Roddy. Roddy.
No, not Rowdy. Roddy.
McDowell.
Roddy McDowell's holding up cross to him, and it's not working.
Right.
And he just starts laughing at him because you have to have faith in order for it to work.
Back, Shaman. Salem's Lot.
That was a pretty good laugh.
You don't have faith, priest. It's kind of funny.
Let's see here. Dr. Evil, people are texting in about. Tim Curry's laugh in Legend.
Oh, he's one. So in Legend, he is this big sort of mythical caricature of the devil with huge horns. The prosthetic makeup on him is amazing.
Yeah.
What about the new Muppet movie? Maniacal Laugh.
Yeah. Maniacal Laugh.
Chris Cooper, right?
Yeah, that's good.
I do like that. All right. Well, anyhow, this is there's an analysis of evil laughs, and apparently they're saying that it is an open and candid enjoyment of other people's suffering, and you can really hear the clear malevolence. In this, is this from The Matrix? That's cartoony.
Do we have Thriller? Do we have the end?
Hang on. Here's Predator.
This is a stupid question, but that guy is
Kevin
the guy
Peter Hall.
Yeah, and he played Harry and the Hendersons.
Yes.
Is it the same voice for Predator as it is for Harry?
No,
it's
it's a different person voicing.
Okay. I think the other guy who is the large Indian guy who is they took his voice and manipulated it.
So when Arnold gets into the chopper at the end, and he's in the chopper, the helicopter pilot
is the guy who's been playing Predator throughout the whole movie.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, this is Kevin Peter Hall. So, okay. Yeah, okay. So the guy who's, I believe it's Kevin Peter Hall.
Yeah. Here's a good one.
Or it's Anthony Michael Hall, one or the other.
This is Glenn Close from 101 Dalmatians.
All right.
It's Cruella DeVille.
Woof, woof.
All right.
That's good.
Here's Chucky's laugh.
Ah.
Here we go.
That's good.
That's good.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Eli Roth has a series on A&E, which is about horror movies.
Yeah.
It's three episodes in. They started with zombies, and they did slasher films over two parts. If you're any sort of horror fan, you got to check it out. It's great.
When Chucky, in that first movie, when he finally shows his true colors.
Yes, yeah.
It's hilarious when he goes, "You effing bitch! I'm an effing bitch!" And you're seeing this doll screaming.
It's
so funny.
And it is, and they talk about it. There's a heavy comedic aspect. If you want to see something that is basically similar but is profoundly disturbing, it's been remade and remade and remade. But the original movie, Trilogy of Terror, with Karen Black, she gets this sort of African doll. It's a priest and blah, 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 and it's this little creature. And that's the original, chasing her around the apartment and stabbing at her and all this stuff. And did you ever see that Trilogy of Terror? That
no, I know.
Classic
I'm familiar
episode?
With it,
yes.
But yeah. And I think the character's name was, wasn't it Alice Cooper? And that's where he got the name?
It might have been. It might have been. Yeah.
Here's Vincent Price. Here's the laugh.
Yeah.
See, I'm a werewolf.
Yes.
Are you scared?
Rare.
Yeah. I'm not like the other boys in so many ways. At least 90 of them are complete felonies and only illegal in some South American country.
Wow. Okay, so take a look around and see what your favorite evil laughs are. We have to take a break. Don't forget, we're going to give you a couple more minutes with the secret text word, a chance for you to win some tickets to see Disturbed February 18th at the Wells Fargo Center with 3 days grace opening the show. We'll take a break, come back in a second, got the bizarre file. We have the ladies of Delilah's on our hottie cam right now. If you would like to go to their trick-or-treat Delilah's 27th anniversary party, it's tonight. You can call for reserve a table for bottle service.
Yes!
And it's 215-625-2800 extension 0 or christy@delilahs.com. So CC and Cassandra and Mia on our hottie cam. We'll be back in a moment. Stay there.
MMR's Birthday Bucks Part 2. Proving you can have your cake and eat it too.
Are congratulations in order to you?
They are, indeed. Just won $1,000.
What are you going to do with that dough, by the way?
I'm going to spend it. What else?
That's the spirit, girl.
You're our $1,000 winner.
Woo!
I love it, man. I love it.
Yeah, not as much as I love it.
It's your shot to win $1,000 cash 5 times a day. Each weekday. Tune in at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. when we announce that hour's winning keyword. Enter it via the newly revamped MMR app on your fancy thinking phone or at WMMR.com. You've got until 15 minutes after the hour to get in. One random entry will be picked to win $1,000. MMR's Birthday Bucks Part 2. 5 times every weekday at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m.
Sponsored by Sprouts Farmers Market. Now open in Broad and Washington.
Complete contest rules available at WMMR.com.
Romano, you wanted to mention something?
I did.
Oh.
Totally. This is right along the lines of fall activities. Actually has been on my list for years, but the MMR's big friggin' deal this week is 2 general admission tickets to the Elmwood Park Zoo for just $18. And, you know, they do Boo at the Zoo, and they have all kinds of events.
I love that. I love that place, and especially around this time of year, it's awesome.
Yeah, and you know the giraffes are, they are like a staple now. They're there all year long, so you can feed them. And, they have a bunch of different great animals. But go to WMMR.com now through Sunday. There's a limited number of tickets, so get them while they're available. But it's 2 tickets for $18. And actually, they're going to make my holiday activity list. They're doing something new at the zoo this year.
For Christmas?
Yeah, so I'll look forward to the holiday activity.
You already know what it is?
I do know what it is.
Ooh, yes. We'll have to wait and see then.
Yeah, but I don't think they've...
for that list to come up.
They haven't released the details yet, so...
Okay, cool. Excellent. And
I can't wait.
We love those guys. Casey... turned to me during the commercial break or during your traffic, and he said, I have a question.
I have a question.
I love you.
So.
No, that's not that's a question. Statement.
It's a statement.
I love you.
That is a fact. And this maybe could lead to a longer conversation, but when we were talking about all of those evil laughs.
Yeah. I have no idea what he's going to ask, by the way.
All right. And the Chucky laugh came up. My wife, who I never thought was evil, sent me this text and said, you need to figure out how you can send that Chucky laugh to Casey's Alexa in her room.
Oh, my God.
So my question is this.
So your wife is just as evil as you.
Oh, my God. How evil is that? But my question is
you
this.
You can do it.
Can you and how can you use your Alexas, your Cortanas, your all of those things to trick your kids into thinking that the house is haunted or something along those lines?
You can use your house, by the way, if you have them all around the house, you can use them all as intercoms. This is what we do in our house. So I'll be in the kitchen and I'll say drop in on Claire's room, my wife. And then the connection is made to her. Hey, honey, what's going on up there? And she'll say, F you, I'm with another guy. And then she...
That man is.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear us?
We're busy.
Keep it down up there, you two. Whatever, rascal. No, but so you can do it that way.
All right.
Now,
wait, but
can you program something like, okay, Alexa, at 12:02?
I bet you can.
Yes, there's a lot that it can do. So I you want to do a little digging on that for you?
Yeah.
All right. But that's psycho because you know the classic story is. They were terrified of Chucky, and your kids were terrified of Chucky, Preston.
Oh, I told you, my son, Parker, when he was little, had heard about Chucky through a neighbor.
I love this story.
Yeah, I'm standing there and goes, Dad, you know, so-and-so told me about this. It's like this doll, and he's got like scars all over his face, and he's really evil, and I go... Oh, you mean Chucky? And he looked like I reached in and tore his soul out of his body because I just made it real when I acknowledged, oh, Chucky. He's like,
yeah, because he didn't tell you his name.
No.
Right, you confirmed everything.
This legend. Yes. It's not, you're talking about the movie with the Chucky character. No, you just said, you mean Chucky. Oh, no.
But Casey's story was even better.
Because it's the same thing. It's this urban legend now that has grown within... You know, children and schools and all that. So what it was going on with Preston's kids in Montgomery County trickled its way down to my children in Delaware County. And they were asking. And then so my daughter was going to sleep one night and, hey, good night. I love you so much. And Chucky's under your bed. And I shut the door and turn the lights out.
That's evil. I'm looking at it in a more selfish reason. Oh, God, now the kids are going to be up all night. And I did that, and I'm trying to get some sleep. You know what I mean? You just scared.
Chucky's into your bed.
We actually went to Steve's last night, Jace and I, and we saw Steve's Halloween decorations, which look great.
Thank you.
But very creepy. So we got home. I was putting him to bed, and I shut the lights out and said goodnight. And he was like, my closet is haunted. I'm like, what? And
there we go.
Wait, but there was like a light illuminating through the cracks of the closet. I was like, I have no idea what that is. I don't want to open that. But it was like a Halloween balloon that has an LED light in it. And we had put it in the closet so the cats didn't get to it.
It's another room.
Yeah, seriously.
What's down here?
I've been living here for quite a while. I hope you don't mind.
That's where Manthi lives, in the caves. In the caves under the Romano estate.
The closet can be a very scary thing.
Oh, yeah, totally.
There's a couple of horror movies that play off that big time, obviously. Well, Poltergeist.
And the new Halloween has the scene from the trailer where she's trying to close the closet and it won't shut, and she opens it and Myers is right there.
There he is.
Well, in the original Halloween, one of the great sequences is just you just see he's wearing the mask and just the slight white of his face as he's looking out at her. But as a kid, did you ever have problems with your not to go off on a tangent here? Were you ever afraid of the closet?
Yeah, probably at some point. I didn't have like an ongoing fear, but I know I would let my imagination get the best of me from time to time. Absolutely.
For me, it was not the closet. It was so my bed was at the end of the hallway and my bed looked down the hallway. The top floor.
So if your
of the
door
house.
Was open, you could
so
see down.
So I could see down to the steps. so if something was coming up the steps, I would have seen it first.
Oh,
so
God.
My mind would run. And that's where I developed my defensive tactic of keeping
She was on
my finger.
Oh.
Out under the.
Oh, yeah.
So that it, my thought fear was that if a witch came in and stapled my sheets to the bed,
yeah.
I could with one finger work the staples up.
I got you. Smart. It's brilliant, Steve.
Yeah. Looking down the hall, though, you could see the shadow people, right?
The shadow. And when you look into darkness like that, and that's why the horror masters know to play on this. You see things. You start to see shapes moving in the darkness.
Well, yep. Still, I'm afraid of my closet. Like, if it's dark in the house.
Oh, my God, these things don't match.
But if the door is cracked open, I'm like, I didn't leave my closet door open. I would never do that.
Oh, my God.
Who is it?
I had one. Okay.
Whose half-eaten sandwich is this?
I had one the other day, and it was, I took a shower, and I got out, and it was in the morning on the way to work. Yeah. And I got out of the shower, and I just hear, I turned the shower, the water in the shower off. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And I go in, and the sink is on, and it's just, the water's running.
I thought you were going to say the TV was on static, a la The Ring.
No. But it was water running, and it was on full blast. And for a moment, it freaked me out, and I'm like, well, I forgot to turn it off.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the other day, my wife and I were in the bathroom, and I get into the shower, and I'm taking a shower. She's like, can I turn the faucet off over here for you?
Wow.
I did that again. Okay, sorry.
Here we go.
I know it was me. It was not legit. All right, hang on a second here. Amanda wants to help out Casey using the home assistance in scaring his kids. Hi, Amanda. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Amanda?
So yesterday, I actually used my Alexa app on my phone while I was at work and watching the security camera in my house to scare my little cousin. I turned music on the Alexa in her room.
Yeah.
And I was turning the lights on. So you can use the Alexa app.
So, yeah, and that's very easy to use the app to turn on and off if you have a smart house situation, and I have that. Casey's idea was, could you schedule an audio message to play at a certain time, use it as a speaker to just play like Chucky talking out of the blue?
You can in the alarms.
The alarms.
Maybe you can customize your alarm to where you have a certain sound.
You just have a sound.
That you can send to it that it would play. I don't know, Amanda.
I think it's fairly easy. I'll do a little research. But, yeah, I think she's right. Because I have one. It answers to Amazon that wakes me up. That's my alarm in the morning. And then I have the Alexa. I controls the TV in my home entertainment system in the bedroom.
Which, by the way,
we have our alarm set to different sounds.
Oh, okay. So, you do what? And there were custom sounds?
A couple of them are radios and a couple of them are custom sounds. You might just need to go into your skills to download sounds.
Okay.
All right. There we go. Yes. I'm sure they have a Chucky impression designed to scare children.
I wonder how evil would you get with it? Like if you could record something, like your voice, like manipulate your voice or something like that. Just like an evil laugh. Okay.
Your mommy and daddy are dead, and I'm your mommy now.
Oh,
I just love activities.
All activities.
Ooh. Isn't that nice, that Jimmy? First stop, we're gonna go pumpkin picking.
Yeah. All right, well, Case, let us know how that works out for you.
Yeah, unfortunately, this conversation has led us away from being able to do the bizarre file here.
You son of a bitch.
I am so sorry.
Okay, well, we can at least give away the secret text word.
Okay, all right.
Kathy, pick me a number caller. We're going to take a commercial break, so keep that in mind.
30.
Wow. All right, 215-263-WMMR. It's terrifying. 31 would have been perfect. Call right now. Call number 30. You get the prize if you know the secret text word, and we'll grab a random text word as well. Back with the bizarre file. We're running late with that and other things. Stay there.
Peek behind the radio curtain with the MMR studio webcam. Available at presidentsteve.com or via the MMR mobile app. See occasional hotties, famous faces, and if you're lucky, monkeys riding border collies.
Marissa just told me that she has posted on presidentsteve.com our conversation about tips in London. We had a discussion and people called in, gave some great suggestions on things to do. And she posted that along with our locations and broadcast times and all that stuff.
So, excellent.
If you are headed to London,
you will want to take a look at that, because maybe you'll come out and join us or check out some of these things that we're going to be doing and have as good a time as we are hoping that we will have. So that is coming up. We were looking for a caller, and I think that we have that caller. We're looking for number 30, and I'm going to go to Guy. Hey, Guy, how you doing, man?
Hey, Preston.
Guy, we need to know that secret text word. Do you know it?
Wristband.
Wristband. That is correct, my man. I want you to hang on just a second. We're going to get your information because we are going to give you some tickets to see Disturbed Friday 18th at the Wells Fargo Center with 3 days grace to open the show. Tickets are on sale Friday at 10 a.m. via ticket, or they're on sale now, I should say, and through Thursday at 10 p.m. while supplies last. It's a pre-sale for MMR. Complete details at WMMR.com. So Guy got the tickets, and so did Leslie DeMarco, who is from Telford, PA, and we grabbed her randomly. So congratulations, and we're going to set you up. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, this morning B-File is brought to you by Patient First, physicians, x-rays, lab tests, and prescription drugs. 19 medical centers conveniently located in eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey. Visit patientfirst.com. This is a local story. A suspicious man in an SUV as two junior high boys walking from school. A very unsettling question, which was, do you want to make $20 by urinating in a bottle?
Okay, I get it. All right, so he is not kinky. He was, all right, I understand what's happening.
You're thinking maybe it was a drug test.
Yes.
Okay. Fortunately, police in Abington Township say the boys told the man no, and he drove off, but police are now looking for the public's help in locating the suspect.
All right, I'm back. Would you poop in this Tupperware?
But it's not that easy. Don't they, like, watch you or go in with you or...
Well, if you had a prosthetic bird to pee out of, they have
like
those
they go to
things,
these lengths.
But this guy was probably really on his way because it's not only like the substances in your urine, but they also test for like the temperature, right?
Right, how warm
so
it there, is.
Yeah, so there's like a
it was clearly a misunderstanding. I'm just into it for sexual reasons. There's no drug test involved. I just enjoy young men and their pee. Crazy that it got out of hand, didn't it?
So yeah, you're right. It has to be a temperature. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got to be a body temperature.
You had the story of a mini mart that was near one of those testing centers where people were coming in and warming up their urine in the or their borrowed urine in the microwave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Police are looking for the public's help, and they were walking home on Edge Hill Road in the area of Briar Bush Nature Center when they were approached by a white male in his 20s driving a black SUV. Detectives are investigating the incident, and anyone with information is asked to call the Abington Township Police.
Oh, thank God it wasn't Delco.
And let them know about that. Yeah, that was in Monco, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Finally, hey, we're fine.
Hey!
Finally catching up to you guys.
You have arrived.
It's a growing community.
A man from Washington State is at the county jail after an alleged string of bizarre behavior across the country led him to North Alabama. Police charged 35-year-old Sherwin Shagan with harassment for inappropriate contact with a high school student after a recent pep rally. You guys might remember this story, okay? So this guy's at it again. After the pep rally, the football team was going to eat, and the suspect jumped on one of the football player's backs. Shagan gave the football player a note and asked him not to read it until the game was over. Now, after winning the game and reading the note, the student went home and told his mother. She later contacted police and discovered that Shagan took pictures of athletes at the pep rally.
Oh,
authorities have not released details about the note, but police say Shagan's actions fall in line with what he has done in a number of different states. According to multiple news outlets, since 2008, Shagan has showed up to athletic events, ingrating himself with the team, and in some cases even dressing up in full uniform. And what he would do is massage players or ask for piggyback rides. Remember this guy going around asking for piggyback rides?
I do remember this now, the piggyback guy.
Yeah. Police traced Shagan through his Seattle area phone number, a Huntsville restaurant he had visited, and the Uber that he took south to Hoover. So they kept following him around.
Taking my Uber to Hoover for piggyback rides.
The Uber driver told police that Shagan was getting piggyback rides at the Walmart where he picked him up.
I just like piggyback rides.
Police in Hoover held him until...
What a pathetic bastard.
Until Falkville police picked him up and transported him to Morgan County. So they had to move this guy around all over the place because everywhere he's been doing this.
This is... look at this.
It's his thing.
Ugh, dear God.
He's a bit of a slob. All right, moving on. Roanoke County police arrested 21-year-old Manuel Ramirez Goody in Sunday's burglary of Clean Souls, which is a shoe store, Clean Souls in Virginia. He allegedly stole 7 right foot only Nike Air Jordans and a sweatshirt that said, "Call my lawyer" on it.
Why
just the right foot?
They're the ones on display.
We don't know. Maybe.
Those are the only ones that are out. And they do that to prevent theft, and clearly that worked.
Didn't work.
Or maybe this guy doesn't have a left foot.
Or maybe his brother is the piggyback guy.
It might be.
Yeah.
No, it's like in Best in Show. Is it me, or does that guy have 2 left feet?
No, he literally has 2 left feet.
I love that. Clean Souls operator Rob Wickham previously said that he typically keeps right shoes on display, Nick. There you go. While the other halves rest behind the counter. Ramirez Goody faces charge of grand larceny, destruction of property, and other counts. And since we are so late with the bizarre file today, we'll end with this one. Marathon runners get sweaty and likely pretty gross during a marathon, but that didn't stop runners from getting married halfway through the Detroit Marathon.
Aww.
On Sunday. Mm-hmm. Mm. Whitney Black donned a veil with her running clothes, and Stephen Phillip wore a shirt with a tuxedo print as they exchanged nuptials at the 13.1-mile marker of the 26.2-mile marathon. The couple said that they kept the ceremony short so their muscles wouldn't get cold before finishing the race. So they actually got married in the middle.
Had they defecated yet along the route? Or?
You know what? I think they may have done that together.
Together.
You know.
That's so sweet.
And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you. So today's lesson question, prize-wise, we are going to give away a pair of tickets to see Storm Large's Crazy Kind of Love concert with the Philly Pops at the Kimmel Center, and that's Friday, November 9th. Question I have to go with this morning is, who is Palpatine's brother? 215-263-WMMR. Who is Palpatine's brother? Let's see if we know the answer. The other one I like was when Casey was in college, when was Crazy Laugh Weekend? That was on the 7th.
Oh.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, well, I couldn't do it on the 1st.
Every other weekend.
So who is Palpatine's brother? 215-263-WMMR. Call now. We're going to do the trash. Here we go.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And this morning, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Fuel up this fall at Dunkin' with $2 any size iced coffees from 2 to 6 p.m. Try any of Dunkin's delicious flavors like maple pecan or pumpkin. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Amy Schumer telling her agent to refuse all commercial endorsement deals for the Super Bowl in an effort to show support for Colin Kaepernick. Schumer says the only thing that could possibly change her mind is if she actually receives an offer to appear in the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
Mike, the situation Sorrentino getting some good news that he won't have to start serving his prison sentence for tax evasion until January 2019. The very stupid Sorrentino says he's thrilled to have a whole year. 56-year-old Rosie O'Donnell saying her engagement to 23-year-old Elizabeth Rooney is causing problems because people think she's Rosie's daughter. Even worse, most people think Rosie is her father.
Oh, my God.
That's your Hollywood trash.
All righty. We'll see if we got an answer to this. Who is Palpatine's brother? 215-263-WMMR. It's Clinton we're going to go to. Hello, Clinton. All right, Clinton, do me a favor. Who is Palpatine's brother?
Ovaltine.
Preston and Steve's music news. And with that, WMMR. We'll just get right into music news. No, Clinton got it right, so we are going to give Clinton...
God damn it.
We're going to bring this level of performance to England.
A pair of tickets to see Storm Large's Crazy Kind of Love concert with the Philly Pops at the Kimmel Center on Friday, November 9th. Storm's Crazy Kind of Love set features classic rock hits, as well as tunes like I've Got You Under My Skin, Somebody to Love, and Forever Young. And tickets are on sale at phillypops.org. That actually kills a little time so I can reach over and get my music news. Music news brought to you by anybody today?
Nope.
Okay. Let's get right to it. Disturbed frontman David Draymond has revealed that the band will no longer tour as regularly as it has in the past.
Why?
That after nearly 20 years on the road, Disturbed is easing back a bit. They said it's not going to be as cyclical as it has been in the
cyclical.
Past.
Cyclical.
We're being a lot more selective with our touring.
Selective.
We're all older, and we all have families, and we all have communities outside of the band, so we're trying to reevaluate how we do what we do so we can balance everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that we won't be back around as often, so just a heads up on that. Disturbed released its seventh studio album titled Evolution last Friday. We're going to send somebody to go see them in Las Vegas on, we'll give that away on Friday, so get yourself set for that. Papa Roach guitarist Jerry Horton has confirmed in an interview that the band's 10th studio album will arrive in January. The yet-to-be-titled follow-up to 2017's Crooked Teeth will include the songs Renegade Music and Who Do You Trust, which were released earlier this month. Asked why a new disc was completed relatively soon after the release of Crooked Teeth, Horton said, normally we give it a couple of years, 2.5 years, just because of the touring cycles. Usually take a pretty long time. And then 6 months in the studio for the record. This time, it was like a year on tour, maybe 3 months in the studio, and it just went really quick. So we've been doing this for so long that we kind of know if we get to a certain point with a song that it's not happening naturally, then we just kind of set it aside and move on to something else. And then maybe come back to it later on. But we don't try to sit there and force it for days on end like we used to. So their process has gotten a little bit quicker, basically. Papa Roach is going to set out on a December tour. Imagine Dragons has premiered the video for Zero, which the band recorded for the upcoming film Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Mm.
And the Zero clip takes place in an 80s-style arcade and stars the members of Imagine Dragons as arcade employees and gamers.
Cool.
Plus, Dan Reynolds has a giant Pac-Man-esque type head. Reynolds said that Zero is about that journey of feeling that like nothing, of feeling like nothing and trying to realize and recognize your worth as a human. Given the distorted version of reality kids face online and the expectations that come with it, this struggle is real for so many people right now. Zero will also appear on Imagine Dragons' upcoming album Origins, the sister album to the band's 2017 Smash Evolve, and Origins is due out on November 9th. And one last story. Tool has actually dropped another big hit that its long-awaited new album is finally on the way by booking a month-long European tour for next summer. The four-week trek, which will include both headlining shows and festival gigs, kicks off June 2nd in Berlin and finishes up on July 2nd in Lisbon. Tool has been officially recording its first studio album since 2006's 10,000 Days for the past several months, but has been evasive about a release date. Last month, singer Maynard James Keenan stirred up excitement among fans when he offered an update on the new LP and all but confirmed that it would arrive in 2019. He wrote, "Scratch Vox track tracked a while ago. Adam deep in guitars now. Final Vox after. Step back, adjust, mix, adjust, readjust, master, adjust, readjust. Long way to go, but much closer.
Velociraptor.
And Velociraptor.
Good housekeeping."
And then he wrote
John Stamos.
That too. Hashtag Tool and hashtag 2019.
Man, these guys, they're cranking out an album every 13 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they boy.
They're on fire.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have in music news for you this morning. I've just been told we have a new Daily Rush video that's up, and it's called Truck You. And it says,
I don't, what is this one? Do we remember?
It says, one of the contestants on the international versions of The Bachelor has a very interesting name. I remember this. It was the two girls.
Oh.
It was a Vietnamese one.
Yes, yes.
And I guess her last name was pronounced Truck You or something like that.
So we did Vietnamese Bachelor.
Yeah, and we did Dell, or, you know, Dell Chevrolet. Sell them for less. Truck You. Something like that, I think.
I think you're right.
Well, let's find out together. Damn, let's watch it online at PrestonSteve.com, and it's sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's newest comedy club.
Where levity is the rule of the day. If you're in a funk or feeling low, you want a quick laugh, well, you head on over there to Punchline, and you'll be lifted into the skies by laughter.
I just saw Bill out of the corner of my eye. I didn't know we'd do that. He's shaking his head, drinking his cup of coffee.
Bill does his own.
I didn't do anything.
Bill does his own Bill impression.
Dude, he just said what the F twice.
Really?
Three
times.
He's
not saying it out loud. Mm-hmm. He would dare.
No, he's a professional.
Just don't laugh too much at Steve.
You'll get in trouble.
I don't want to get in trouble.
Because Kathy will be seeing
it. You just did it.
All right, Case, I have a choice of two of these.
Well, we should probably do.
All right, Bohemian Rhapsody. Tonight is the screening.
Bo-rap.
And it will...
That's how the kids are saying it. Bo-rap.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
Really? The kids are saying it?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Bo-rap.
I think he's making that up.
No, he's not.
Really?
No, I've heard, but it's not just the kids. I've heard that for a long time.
Bo-rap?
Bo-rap, yeah.
I never in my life have called a bo-rap. Interesting. Anyhow, we tickets. Dude, you just shut up. Shut up.
Shut up.
We have tickets to the movie screening tonight. And we'll take callers 11 and 12 at 215-263-WMMR. UA King of Prussia, 7:30. You need to be there by 7, doesn't it? Theaters nationwide till November 2nd. So let's get you some tickets to that movie tonight. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second, and we'll get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize and see what's coming up next when Pierre gets in here. Stay with us. Be back in just a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Greta Van Fleet. Smashing Pumpkins. Dorothy.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
So today's been fun. Thank you for joining us for this. And I want to thank Director Jason Reitman, who is here this morning.
Yeah.
Is he a buddy now? I think he's an official buddy. That's his...
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. His fourth appearance or third appearance?
His third, I believe. Okay. Yes.
But he was very complimentary when we were done and thanking us. He's like, you guys make it so easy and we appreciate it. And he was even busting on himself about I can't believe you guys are having me on to talk about this stuff and running all your listeners away. He's sitting here talking about, campaign... political campaigns from decades ago.
Well, he's Jason Reitman. Yeah. A. B. He is a mover and shaker as far as getting films done. So, and the fact that he's, if we can get Hugh Jackman's contact we can ply this a little bit.
Yeah.
Why not?
And he was the one who was in the first time we did the interview with him. He was with,
it was
Diablo Cody.
Diablo Cody,
okay,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just
and we just talked about her being a stripper the whole time.
Yeah, but
we didn't know about her.
He did compliment you guys afterwards, and I was thinking that. I'm like, I wonder if he remembers that first time.
He does, because we had him contact
make the
Diablo
video, right?
Cody
to apologize.
To apologize for that interview, and maybe someday we will meet her again.
So he said off air when the interview was done that she has kind of gone internal right now. Not that she's retiring or anything like that, but she's being a full-time mom, and that he and she will be writing a show for HBO. So when they're done, when he's done promoting The Front Runner, they're going to get together and start working together again, and then that show will probably come out in 2019 or 2020.
Wouldn't it have sucked were he nowhere near as talented as his dad, who's legendary, Ivan Reitman.
Yeah.
But he has his own voice and his own filmmaking style, and he's receiving massive accolades.
Marissa?
Just to confirm, I filmed a little video with him while we were waiting, and he walked into the production studio and was trying to think of something funny to say about the movie. He's like, every time I come in here, we just talk about Diablo stripping days. So he confirmed he remembers that.
There you go.
And we didn't talk about it today. How about that?
Yeah.
So, anyhow, thank you. His film is called The Front Runner, and that will be in theaters on November 21st. So it was cool. And thank you to the Delilah's gals who came by today. Their party is called Trick or Treat, 27th anniversary party tonight, 7 o'clock. Hosted by DJ Cat Nova.
It apparently has an adult theme to it, Preston.
Apparently some sort of adult theme. And they have their big pole championship competition.
Yes, so if you're Polish.
No.
No.
Performances by Delilah's dance team. So I guess we need to do the letter of the day. Yeah. And Case, you going to help out with that?
Yeah, I'll do it.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
R.
All right.
Sweet. As in rock.
All right, so we got three now, and we need five altogether. So a couple more days, and we have a trip for two to Las Vegas to see
Rag'em,
Disturbed, and meet the band on January 12th. MMR presents Disturbed on Monday, February 18th, the Wells Fargo Center, with 3 days grace to open the show. And tickets are on sale. Tickets are on sale now, actually. There is a pre-sale because the official on sale is Friday at 10 a.m., but the pre-sale is from now till Thursday at 10 p.m. while supplies last. So you can get the complete details at WMMR.com.
BatLookslikeHomeMine.com. Let's see. I guess I will thank our sponsors. What?
I don't know why I did that on mic. Sorry. Sometimes I forget this thing is in front of me.
That's okay. I got to thank our sponsors.
I miss those laughing weekends.
Me and John.
Me and John. Yeah. Couldn't do it every week. That'd be obscene.
Yeah. I got to thank our sponsors, the Preston and Steve Show, brought today by Winner Airport Parking.
Oh, yeah.
2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. We'll be using them tomorrow.
Yes, we will.
Also brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin' tomorrow. Let's find out together.
Yeah.
We're going to have a good time, whatever it is. But we'll have more money to give away, more stuff to set you up with. I'll tell you, I'm going to go see... the movie tonight, Bohemian Rhapsody, Bo Rap. And Pierre, by the way, your chance to win $1,000 coming up in just a few minutes at 11 o'clock for Birthday Bucks. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow day. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Hey, guys. I'm just calling to tell you that my official Preston and Steve pen from 2006, the last one that we owned, finally ran out of ink. I would appreciate your thoughts and prayers in this difficult time. The best pen I ever owned.
Next message.
Preston and Steve, muchos familiares, mucho que negalo, que cabano. That's not even Spanish, I'm just speaking gibberish. I love you guys.
Next message.
I'm sick and tired of every morning on Township Line, these people come out of the city and ride 10 miles per hour under the speed limit. Stay the out of suburb and stay in the concrete jungle where the you belong.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.